Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. On today's Pardon My Take, we have our good friend Jake Arrieta to get us hyped for baseball trade deadline, which is coming up on Tuesday.
The hot stove.
The hot stove's December. What's the trade deadline?
It's just always hot stove.
It's always a hot stove. It's the hot stove.
Buyers or sellers?
They love, baseball writers love talking about that. Back in the day, like Abner Doubleday just used to stand by a stove and talk about trades.
Well, what it was the old water cooler.
Yeah.
That's what the hot stove
hot
was.
Stove.
People would gather around the stove for warmth.
Yeah, so we got that. We have Mount Rushmore of training camp cliches because we are balls deep in training camp right now. We have two big show announcements, so make sure that you tune in. AWLs want to hear both of them. And hey, guys, it's Big Cat, and Fight Week is here. Rough and Rowdy 24 invades Clarksburg, West Virginia this Friday night, April 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern for the first time since Rough and Rowdy 1. Every single fight will be a brand new brawler, and we found the wildest hillbillies the holler has to offer. Order now to enjoy 20 amateur matchups with no headgear, plus our live ring girl contest after the final bell. These country roads are being paved with blood and grit and balls. Join me and Dave on the call for Rough and Rowdy 24 tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. Witness all the chaos with pay-per-view replay available all weekend long on buyrnr.com. That's buyrnr.com.
Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
Welcome to Pardon My Take, presented by Coors Light, the greatest beer ever created. Today is Monday, August 1st, and I wanted to quote one of the world's greatest philosophers when I say, man, I love football. The boys got going yesterday, and it's all love. First day of pads, just pushing each other to be great. That is all. And that is from our good friend Josh Allen after a little skirmish in Buffalo. That tweet like hyped me up so much because I was like, yes, training camp, football,
fights,
August.
Yeah, well,
it's hot.
Listen, breaking news: football is fucking back
because
the Hall of Fame game is on Thursday.
Yes, it is.
Like, this is our first week. I have a pep in my step. I'm bright-eyed. I'm bushy-tailed.
We just talked about our Hard Knocks plans.
Oh, my God.
We're going to be on Grit Week next week, and we're going to have to figure out where to watch Hard Knocks. Like, this is it.
So I'm going to be so disappointed at about, like, 10 p.m. Thursday night once I remember, oh, yeah, the Hall of Fame game stinks.
Yeah.
But I'm so excited this week. I'm already talking myself into the storylines. I'm building up, like, this is a rivalry game. The Jaguars, the Raiders.
Oh.
Josh McDaniels.
A lot of history between those two franchises.
Josh McDaniels and Doug Peterson, Super Bowl rematch. They've got that bad blood.
Damn. I actually, like, we've talked about this, how when you get to this time of the year, you start daydreaming about things. I can't remember what I was listening to, but I was like, I think I might sell myself on the Jaguars this year, like, take their win total over just by Urban Meyer not being there. Like, I think it was because I read a quote, was like, someone was like, yeah, it's a lot different.
Yeah.
Josh Allen actually said it. The other Josh Allen was like, yeah, it's a lot more professional. It's a lot different. I think the Jaguars are going to get a bounce just by not having that fucking asshole around, finger of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And what else did he win?
He won, was it?
Beef of the year.
Urban Meyer versus accountability.
Okay. Accountability, yeah. Two-time Takey Award winner is out. And, I think I'm going to buy the Jaguars.
I'm calling my shot right now. Doug Peterson is going to look sick in the Jaguars visor.
Yes.
That is a visor town. I think, like, if you could pick one place for a visor coach to go, he's going to fit right in Jacksonville.
Yes.
Josh McDaniels is going to look a little bit weird, I think, in the Raiders colors. We'll get used to it after a while, but Doug Peterson, like a duck in water down in northern Florida.
Yes, hell yes. And we're going to do the Mount Rushmore of training camp cliches, storyline cliches in a minute here, which is going to be great because it gets you even more pumped up for football.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, breaking moves. Is this one of the big show announcements?
This is one of the big
show. Bill Russell died.
This is the big show announcement.
Shit. God damn it, Hank.
This is what I was alluding to on Friday. No, rest in peace, Bill Russell.
By the way, we should
the
just
first
say,
line,
rest in peace, Bill Russell, legend. He's one of those rare cases where it's like when people say, as good as he was as a player, 11 championships, he was a better human, and you're like, yeah, actually, that's like understated.
He might be the most Mount Rushmoreable professional basketball player of all time, like on various Mount Rushmores.
Yeah.
As far as like what he did. Obviously, for the Celtics, he's maybe the most clutch postseason player of all time. He was 10-0 in elimination games in the playoffs.
Crazy.
Pretty good.
I'll read that. This is just the first sentence. Obviously, it went into a long, you know, list of
We have the real breaking news in a minute, yeah.
But, yeah, it was with a very heavy heart we would like to pass along to all of Bill's friends, fans, and followers. And then it said, Bill Russell, the most prolific winner in American sports history.
Yeah. Like, how incredible is that?
That's a fact. It's not really debatable either.
Are we in the trust tree? To say something real quick? A couple things.
Fine.
One is, shout out to us as a podcast, because we did have the takeies last week, and we were thinking about who we should give the Tommy Lasorda, Tommy Lasorda, still alive person of the year in memoriam of John Madden, and Bill Russell's name came up, and we're like, you know what? No, because no, that would be bad if he died, and he did, and he's a legendary human, and we'd rather have the queen die.
Yes.
I think we all would agree.
Yeah, we put the whammy on the queen.
Why couldn't it have been the queen?
It should have been her. He was also the first black coach in NBA history. It wasn't Ime Udoka.
No, that's Jay Williams probably was like, fuck, I'm going to trend again.
And he also had 40 rebounds in an NBA Finals game, which is insane.
The other trust tree thing I want to just point out that I didn't tweet because I'm a respectful human, but the timing of Dana Beers becoming Dana Vodka Waters and Bill Russell passing away, it was almost minutes after. So I know that Bill Russell was a huge Dana Beers fan, and you have to think that that had something to do with it.
I'm sure he was very disappointed. It broke his heart.
Yes.
As it did everybody else.
The whole world was upset about Dana Beers becoming, what a fucking pussy that guy is.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
We should have to change all of his names.
Just be like, oh yeah, Dana Vodka Sodas now? Get out of here, dude.
That's going to make a difference.
Yeah.
I was reading a list of Bill Russell's accomplishments earlier today, and they were all just unreal, including winning the Presidential Medal of Freedom and all that stuff. And then they also tacked on the list, he also hosted an episode of Saturday Night Live in 1979. And you might think that that's kind of out of place, considering the rest of the things on this list. SNL was fucking funny in 1979. Yes. That is a big deal.
But, I mean, yeah, he's a legendary human, legendary basketball player, but legendary human first. Like I said, it's the rare case when everyone does the lip service of, like, as good of a player, he's a better person.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Russell, that is probably, like, 100 times X. Like, what he did for the world, for black people, for everyone, like, it's incredible. So
retire his number.
Yeah.
All across the league.
Let's go, Hank.
He's got the MVP trophy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So, yeah, I agree. Retire his number, yes. Good call, Hank.
But what I was saying before that, what I was alluding to on Friday.
We just hijacked our own announcement. Mm-hmm. Whoops.
Hey, but listen, that's perspective. That's what Bill Russell would have liked. Bill Russell didn't sign autographs. You know why? Because he thought athletes shouldn't be looked up to as heroes. He thought the real heroes are the people out there, like the teachers, the firefighters, and the podcasters.
Mm-hmm. And one last thing about Bill Russell. You can tell, like, what a person means to everyone when, like, you know, people die all the time. But the fact that, like, everyone who has ever meant anything to basketball or civil rights had something to say almost instantly tells you what type of person it was. Like, you know, Jordan, Barkley, all these people just come, like, instantly. It's like, oh, yeah, he meant that much to that many people.
Yeah, I don't think he's an actually guy either. I don't think anybody has had the take, like, actually, Bill Russell.
J.J. Redick, probably.
Yeah, he'll go on there and be like, well, he played against Bob Cousy. So
he played with Bob Cousy.
Yeah, played with Bob. How good could he be?
Okay. R.I.P. Bill Russell. Moment of silence. Okay.
All right.
Lived a great life. 88 is a great life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Best to ever do it. But yeah, anyway, what I was alluding to on Friday, the big announcement, something we've been working on a long time behind the scenes. Very excited about it. It's a big, you know, opportunity for us. Big opportunity for the AWLs. We're
7 years old.
We're
seven.
Food. We're pardon my cheesesteak. Our lives.
What? Huh?
And you? Yeah.
What's
what,
that,
is,
what
is? What pardon is my
that?
Cheesesteak? Do you guys? Oh want
yeah,
to explain?
I'll explain it to you. Let me explain it to you. Part of my cheesesteak.
That doesn't even make sense.
Is a delivery and pickup only restaurant brand bringing you craveable cheesesteaks and loaded fries. When we say that we tested everything, we perfected it. We made it exactly what we think our fans want. You get cheesesteaks. You can get buffalo chicken cheesesteaks. You can get fries, loaded fries, brownie bites.
Chipotle cheesesteaks.
And it's everywhere. 200 locations. It is
200 plus. 200 and a lot plus. More coming.
It Ghost Kitchen. So I just looked at the list. Honolulu. Shout out. Yes, Honolulu. You can get Pardon My Cheesesteak. It's everywhere. Literally everywhere. Across the country.
If you have a phone, you have access to a Part of My Cheesesteak.
Yes.
That's what we're getting. And we did actually taste test it and gave notes on that. We were like, you know what? This could be tastier.
Yes.
And they said, okay, we'll make it tastier.
Yes. And so go to partofmycheesesteak.com to learn more. And you can order on DoorDash, Uber Eats, Postmates, or Grubhub. And here's the big thing. This does actually just go to us. So
congratulations, like, we sold out, guys.
Yes, yes.
Hey, Big Cat. This is the, congrats.
Yes, this is the out. this is the Wayne's World moment where we're doing the ads. But like, you know, if you like us and you want to support us, get Pardon My Cheesesteaks. We do think they are very, very good. It's good food and it's perfect for football season.
Simple menu,
but it's like when you eat it, when you take a bite of it, just know it's cha-ching. For us,
the cheese
which
steaks,
is you love us,
the
right?
The cheesesteaks are legitimately delicious. They're yeah. awesome. We've been eating them nonstop for the past couple months. We've had a ton of people that tag us on Twitter being like, yo, somebody's ripping you guys off. We haven't been able to talk about it yet, but I have had several friends.
Who was the weirdest person?
That told me that I was getting ripped off?
Yeah.
My aunt's ex-boyfriend.
Okay. Oh.
Buddha Ben.
Yikes.
Yeah.
I had Rosillo hit me up.
What?
And I was like, dude, yeah.
what were you
you're
doing?
You some late night cheesesteaks?
Or
that's
maybe it's
healthy.
Just like, maybe there was like a targeted ad just because he's so obsessed with us and then they
that's
like were
true.
Feeding him part of my cheesesteak mm-hmm. ads.
Maybe he just throws out the bread, which you can do, and just eat the steak
it's
if
healthy.
You want just gains.
So a fun fact about these cheesesteaks is Billy hand kills every cow
mm-hmm.
that goes into Part of My Cheesesteaks. He strangles them to death with his bare hands. So you're getting certified Billy treated meat.
It's beautiful.
It's like kosher, but a little different.
Yeah, yeah. It's brochure.
But nothing like it. Yeah, 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 exactly. But yeah, we're very excited for it. We really do think these are great. It's great food, affordable. It's not, we're not going to jack up the price on everyone. Maybe we should, though.
It's football food.
We should mm-hmm. do, like, we should at some point sell, like, the gold cheesesteaks where they put, like, a little flake of gold in it. We sell for, like, $7,000. Because then we can have like all the influencers try it.
Then what we should do is we should jack up the prices after like a month. And then everyone's like, whoa, look at what's happening to these cheesesteaks. They must be delicious.
Yeah.
Everybody, they're in such high demand.
Yeah.
I have to pay $40
it's
for
it's crazy.
No,
yeah.
But cheesesteaks are one of my favorite foods in the entire world. If you listen to us, you know that we all love cheesesteaks, especially Jake. He absolutely can't get enough of the stuff. But they're very, very good. We hope you guys like them. And if you don't like them, who should
just
they
just don't
blame?
Say anything.
Who should they blame?
No, just don't. You know what? It's the old fashioned. If you got nothing nice to say, don't say anything. All right. So just keep it to yourself. But yeah, it has 6-inch, 12-inch, classic cheesesteak, chipotle cheesesteak, buffalo chicken cheesesteak, loaded fries, dessert brownie bites. It's simple. So that we did this on purpose. They initially came to us and it was like this long menu. And we're like, no, we know what our fans want. They want, let's run the power sweep and just run it until they can stop it. We're going to do four things and we're going to fucking crush it and go to partofmycheesesteakagain.com or you can order on DoorDash, Uber Eats, Postmates, Grubhub, everywhere. 200 plus locations.
We had
and
some
a
for
lot
dinner
more coming.
Yeah. And they're so good.
Yes. Yes. And we're pot and none of us are using the bathroom right now.
Nope.
So there you go. Perfect tested. Anything else, Hank? You'll hear about it some more. We made some funny videos.
Yeah, there's gonna be a lot of like YouTube advertisements videos. If you're watching the YouTube right now, we'll play one of the commercials.
We'll play one of the commercials. I will retweet people who order it and say nice things about us. I will always retweet those compliments. Billy, you will retweet them. Billy, I want you on retweet duty.
I will.
I want your feed to just be retweets of these.
I'll smash them.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. What else? Is that? That's it for right now.
That's it. Part yeah. of my cheesesteak. Find out more. Find out your location. Order them. And thank you.
Yes, thank you to all of our fans. We love you. I mean, you just got... You can't be like, oh, shit, they sold out. You just literally got your seventh takey for AWL. So
yeah,
like,
I mean...
Now's not the time. You don't think that we planned that?
Let's be honest. Did you guys really expect us to not sell out ever?
But we just gave you the treat. Now you got to pay it back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Second announcement is going to come after Jake Arrieta. So tune in for that. That's a show announcement. Before we do the Mount Rushmore, I wanted to do a quick I have some training camp storylines.
I have a mind-blowing fact that's been on my mind.
Oh.
Hold on. Let me pull it up, though. Sorry. I didn't know if one of you guys was
here.
I think I know what it is, because I had a woe written down, too.
Let me do the ad read, and then you can do it, okay? Okay.
Hey, it's PFT here, talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started. I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or Bike Plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
You want to do your woe?
Yeah. PFT, do you want to try and go at the same time?
Yeah, let's say it together. Ready?
Is it a person? Involves a person? One person?
It involves a fictional person.
Okay, then no, it's different.
Okay, all right, we two woes.
Yeah.
We get a woe off.
Max Homa's name is John.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well,
it's more of a pervert.
It's John Maxwell Homa.
Yeah. Maxwell's a total pervert.
Jack Homa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jack Homa.
Jacoma.
Yeah.
Jacoma. Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
Yeah. No, he was looking extra pervy this weekend. I saw a couple screen grabs. People were like, was he playing in like some fake tournament? Did he win?
He was dialed in yesterday.
Finau
of course
won.
He was.
Finau went back
tournament.
To back.
Yeah. Oh, he went back to back?
Yeah, if you can't beat Finau, come on, Max.
He had like two bogeys in 2 weekends.
In 2 weekends total?
In the past 2 weekends. No, Finau. He's dialed in.
He's dialed in. Okay, he's playing the best golf of his career.
So remind us to bet on Finau in the next majors, what you're saying.
Yeah.
He's hot.
Okay, what was your woe?
My woe is on today. That's right, today. That would be July 31st, as we're taping it.
Uh-huh.
This is the day that George Jetson was born on.
Whoa.
In the TV show The Jetsons.
Yeah. Whoa.
Whoa.
That is whoa.
And if you watch The Jetsons, we're like journeying through outer space.
Future.
Conquering other solar. We have the exact same problems. We're dealing with the exact same shit that the Jetsons were dealing with when it came out in like 1970
Damn,
or whatever.
That is a whoa.
Nothing's changed, but whoa, George Jetson.
That is a
welcome,
big time whoa.
Welcome to Earth.
Fuck.
Do you want to hear another whoa?
Yeah, that's sure. Let's like just go woes.
It's a Jetsons and Flintstones fan theory.
Your brain is full of woes.
It is. Yeah. I just
you walk
for
around
woes.
Just going whoa.
I'm pretty sure they did some crossover episodes too.
Yeah, there's a theory that the Flintstones live in a post-apocalyptic prehistoric land on Earth, while the Jetsons live in the sky.
So Billy's been spending way too much time on Reddit.
Whoa, whoa.
Yeah.
Also,
whoa.
Not.
I actually like that a lot.
Yeah,
that's
a good
nuts,
one.
Right?
Yeah, that is a nuts one.
Not to be horny, but Jane Jetson, she get it.
Put on the list. Okay.
She was a fox.
All right, so I wanted to run down.
You kidding me?
Before we do our Mount Rushmore, I wanted to just rapid fire go through some actual training camp storylines that are going on right now and get just, let's just go quick, hot takes. First up, Kyler Murray, it got taken out of his contract that he doesn't need to study. Huge win for him.
I think that's even worse now.
Oh, so much worse.
I think it's worse because it's like, okay, this was such a colossal fuck up and it's so embarrassing that we're going to coddle you by taking that out. So now Kyler's freed.
Yes.
Kyler can do whatever he wants right now.
Yes, yes. He's completely free. Debo Samuel got an extension. DK mm-hmm. got an extension.
DK got paid.
It feels like everyone's getting their extensions, which is, you know.
Well, the Debo extension, per rap sheet, he had an all-time tweet when he announced it. He said, sources, the 49ers and star weapon, Debo Samuel, not wide receiver, weapon,
yep.
Debo Samuel, are in agreement on a massive contract extension, keeping him in San Francisco for the foreseeable future. The drama is over. The bridge is rebuilt. The
now,
bridge
he,
is rebuilt, guys.
Was he a hold-in?
He was holding in.
There's no drama. That's my favorite part about like these new holdouts that are actually hold-ins where the guy shows up. He just doesn't practice.
Yeah, he's just not
hold-in.
Happy.
He's
yeah.
there. He's just not going to practice until you give him a new contract. I miss the days of a true holdout.
I do
like,
too.
I'm not showing up.
I miss
Brett
like,
Favre not showing up to the last day of training camp.
I miss the old like TO holdouts.
Yeah.
The ones that were like really intense.
Yeah.
Where they had like the media staked out outside their house. Ed Werder on the road reporting from some guy's driveway.
Yes.
That's the kind of holdout that I want to see.
Yes.
These kids these days are too cut. They're soft. They don't know how to execute a proper holdout.
You're absolutely right. Who is the other guy? Who is the guy who was like on Brett Favre watched.
It was, I mean, Ed Werder.
No, I know it was, but it was
they'd
the other
him,
guy.
Ed Werder was the best because they'd send him out to, like, the sticks of Mississippi, and he'd just be standing at the end of a dirt road for, like, 7 days at a time, and he'd just be standing out there getting bit by mosquitoes, and his face would start to turn red, and he would sweat in the sun, and by the end of it, his entire body was just sunburned.
But
it was the best.
It was the lawyer guy, too. Who was it? What was the lawyer guy on ESPN?
Kosick,
maybe? No.
I don't know. I just remember...
Fuck.
Well, Eddie W. being in charge of that.
No, there was another guy who was on, like, he was, like, best friends with Bus Cook, and he was always there, too. This is going to fucking drive me insane. Jake, you're going to have to try to find it.
Ryan Smith?
No.
He's the legal analyst.
No, it's, I'm talking, like, we're talking 15 years ago.
Way back in the day.
Come on.
John Barr?
No. Fuck. Might have just been. I think there was
another
guy.
Did you invent a lawyer? Is this
like there was another guy.
Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas?
No, there was
another.
They
definitely had a legal analyst.
Yeah. And his name is.
There's so many people yelling at their.
His name is escaping me now, and it's going to fucking drive me. Roger Cossack was a legal analyst, but that's not. Maybe it is.
It might have been Roger.
I feel like that was him.
Yeah, it might have been him.
Yeah.
That name sounds familiar.
Yeah, this guy. Yeah. He was always on the air.
I think he
was
there too. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right, so here's some quick other stories. Tua threw a perfect spiral.
65 yards in the air.
Yep.
Air yards.
Huge to Tyreek. So that basically the Dolphins are fixed.
Mm-hmm.
That was all they needed was to tweet one of those.
And then right after practice, all the guys on the team were like, man, this offense is going to be fun.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I agree. I think it's going to be fun either way.
Yeah. Baker is struggling. But
okay.
That's okay.
That's fine.
Sam Darnold is currently
winning. Iron sharpens iron.
Winning the battle, even though I think it's Baker's job. The Steelers, I don't know what's going on because Mitch has the job, but then there was a report that Mason Rudolph might be winning the job.
They're just trying to light a fire under Mitch on that one.
Yeah, and then Kenny's there too. So I don't know what's going on, but I just know that Mike Tomlin will somehow find a way to get the Steelers to 10 wins.
It's going
to
be Mitch.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be Mitch this year. Kenny Pickett waiting in the wings.
Jerry Jones had a great Jerry Jones.
Comeback player of the year, Mitch Trubisky.
Ooh, I like that.
No, Jameis.
Yeah.
It's Jameis.
Jameis, for sure Jameis. Joe Burrow might be, could he be qualifying for it?
He had appendix out.
Yeah, he had appendectomy. He
I
should
think
be,
so.
Yeah, no, he should qualify.
He should, but I don't think
he'd win back-to-back. Didn't he win it last year?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he'd win back-to-back. I'm rooting for that. I'm going to bet that. But, I mean, dude, he got his appendix
probably not even
out.
Offered.
Yeah, his appendix
I don't think
it's,
I don't know that that works.
Like right,
that.
So what we got to do is we got to offer it, and then we got to make a huge deal about the appendix. Do a whole report about how he almost died.
People die.
Yeah.
No, it's actually die. Like, yes. So last year he tore his ACL. That's a tough injury to come back from, but actually having your body explode on you, that's way worse.
Yeah. People do die. Go ahead.
Whoa, fact, you can't go to Antarctica if you have your appendix.
Whoa.
Whoa.
I don't think you can go up in like a space station either, right?
Yeah.
That's just that.
Without...
That can't be true.
No, because they don't have enough medical technology down there. So if it starts to rupture, you're going to die.
Yeah. Without surgery or antibiotics, more than 50% of people with appendicitis die.
Holy shit.
50% kill rate.
It was a big killer back in the day.
Joe Burrow just stared death in the eyes and said,
holy fuck.
You better bring your A game, motherfucker.
50%. Again, that's without any doctors or anything. But 50%, that's crazy.
Do you guys? Yeah. Do we all still have our appendixes intact
as
here?
As far as I know.
I've got mine.
Yeah. Yeah.
We probably shouldn't go on grit week with our appendixes.
Mm. Should we get them out?
Yeah.
Get some out?
Well, yeah. We do have that big hike coming up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true. Everest equivalent. All right. Jerry Jones decided to... I love when Jerry Jones inserts himself in any way. But he basically was... That's you, Bonk. he basically came out and was like, yeah... Zeke has to be our feature back. So he's basically playing coach, which, again, that's what Jerry Jones is there to do.
Yeah, I love it when Jerry Jones does that. Mike McCarthy just watches Jerry Jones' latest press conference. He's like, well, I have to redo my entire game plan right now because the real coach stepped in.
Right. Jerry Jones is basically like, he like bought a very expensive boat, and then but he lives in like a place that's nowhere near water. He's like, I got to find a way to use this.
He's working remotely.
He spent so much money on Zeke, and he's like, we have to use him to get my money's worth, even if it's not the best option.
Yeah, you do. Like, what do you think Jerry Jones would do if Ezekiel Elliott was on the bench and whoever, Pollard would probably be starting over him, right?
Yep.
If Pollard gets a lion's share of the touches, he scores 15 touchdowns, Jerry Jones is still going to be freaking out.
Yes.
Because he's like, you need to make my money spin here, buddy.
Yes.
Exactly. Do you see the Gardner Minshew story?
Yeah.
Gardner Minshew lived in a bus outside of a gym this offseason. He connected the bus to the gym's electricity to power his fridge, AC, and cooking station. He used the gym's bathroom all summer and showered out in the open wearing compression shorts. I don't know why they included the last line of that into the headline.
Because he definitely didn't.
He
showered outside nude.
Because you can also shower in the gym's bathroom.
Yes.
They have
yes.
a shower there too.
Yeah, but he did a grit summer. And then speaking of grit, the last one I had was just a reminder that the Lions are hard knocks, so Dan Campbell's going to be awesome.
Yep.
I also saw that Lions players are now signing kneecaps, which is great.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Dan Campbell was, he was doing up-downs and push-ups with the guys.
Yep.
Lions should get comeback franchise of the year.
It's,
if they win like six games, we need to grade that. We need to grade that on a scale. Like Dan Campbell. Let's start having the conversation right now. Dan Campbell, coach of the year.
Yes, coach of the year.
If they win
Dan
five
Campbell.
Games,
Doug
give it
Peterson
to him.
Might as well.
Yeah.
Actually, Urban Meyer should win it. If the Jaguars win eight games, Urban Meyer should win coach of the year by getting fired. He made the Jaguars good.
And if he doesn't finger a 21-year-old's butthole this year, you can say like that's a step in the right direction.
Yes, good job, Urban Meyer. Okay. So that was a little appetizer to our Mount Rushmore. We're going to do the Mount Rushmore of training camp cliches, cliche storylines. Who won the last one?
I didn't check.
I didn't either.
Not us.
We were on vacation.
It wasn't Jake?
I was on
vacation.
No, it was
us.
Oh, it was?
You guys won?
No, it was us as a team. We lost.
Oh, okay.
I was saying, reiterating that his internet went out, but it's still a team.
Yeah, true. Yeah, so who
Glad
won?
Glad to have you back, Billy.
Yeah.
I believe you guys won. I'll double check.
Oh,
okay. No, you know what? Deal. I actually did see it. You're right. We did win. I forgot for a second.
Oh, okay. Yep. Glad I could double check for you.
Momentary lapse of mindfulness there. Mm-hmm. So I guess, do you want to go first, Big Cat?
Yeah. We'll go first as a team. I did miss you guys being on vacation for a week. Sometimes I like think about the show and just like conversations that would happen and that didn't happen, so it's good to be back. What? Mm-hmm.
No, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah. I watched The Bear over the last week. Good show. Very good show. I'm not like, so here was the fake conversation I had in my head. I like The Bear as a show. I'm not a huge food guy. And then I was waiting for Hank's face to be like,
huh?
Yeah, right, exactly. Meaning like I'm not a big like chef guy, but like I was actually like literally sitting in my house thinking about saying I'm not a big food guy and Hank being like,
yeah.
Yeah. You?
Hank and I did some,
so you were getting mad at me on your vacation?
Oh yeah. I was like, you there. Motherfucker, Hank.
Hank and I talked about the show a little bit when he came down on Wednesday night, and we just kind of like, he was telling me how when he opens up his computer sometimes, old episodes of Part of My Take start playing.
No, my car Bluetooth, like it connects to my iTunes, and like old, the mix downs will play, so it's like the before we like 3-2-1 clap, and I'll just get a random conversation that we had from like April 2020 or something.
And it's usually us just yelling at Hank for something, be like, Hank's trying to ruin the show already before we get started.
Yeah.
Like we like to get pre-mad before we do these episodes.
Yes.
So you, like get the competitive juices flowing a little
lather
bit.
Lather up. Yeah, we lather ourselves up.
Like Hank just gave us a look.
Yeah.
That's a big topic that we like to have.
That's funny that it just randomly plays.
Yeah.
Shout out the OG, Robert Little.
Yeah,
Black
it's like you,
it,
and it's like you never. I mean, some of the conversations are wild. Then it's like, all right, 3-2-1.
Yeah, just get right into it. All right, so we're gonna go first.
Sure, whatever you want.
Let's have Hank and Bubba go second.
Okay,
and then Jake and Billy will go third.
Both Jake and Billy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jake and Billy will go third. All right. I think our 1-1 is very easy, and that is. You want to? It's the first one I sent.
Yeah, the one that we.
Yeah, it's players in the best shape of his life. So there's always one player who's like, this guy has finally done it. He's in the best shape of his life. It could also be like a combo of best shape of your life or added 15 pounds of muscle. It could go either way. Lost 15 pounds of fat, added 15 pounds of muscle. Just the player who everyone is talking about, he's in the best shape of his life. Watch out.
Yeah, he changed his diet this offseason. Yep. So he's going like a shrimp. He's going like chicken and fish vegetarian.
Yes.
So he cut out red meat.
He finally got a nutritionist.
Yep.
It could be as simple as that.
He's been taking his body seriously this offseason.
Yeah. Stopped eating McDonald's.
Yep.
That's it usually will be coupled with a story of like this player used to drink like 6 liters of soda a day.
Mm-hmm.
They stopped, best shape of their life.
Yep. Cut out soda entirely.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good pick.
Thank you.
Thanks, Hank.
We kind of alluded to this earlier when we were talking about the Steelers, but a coach saying there's a QB competition when one guy's clearly way better.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm,
I like that.
Everyone's
doesn't
open.
Matter. Yeah. It's every position's up for
competition.
Doesn't
matter what the last name you got on the back of your jersey is. It could be Trubisky. It could be Rudolph.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. It's all up for competition.
Yes. Yeah. Like Sam Darnold is beating Baker right now, but Baker's going to be the starter without a doubt.
But it's up for competition.
But it's up for competition. You're right. You're right. Okay, Jilly.
We're going to go with holdouts being a distraction.
Yeah, the D word.
Yeah.
The D word. I don't think anybody actually gets distracted during training camp. That's probably the one time of the season where it's impossible to be distracted if you're a player, because you're literally just trying to keep your job.
Yeah, that's a good one, too, because it's always you always get a couple quotes from some of the veterans being like, we care about the guys who are here right now.
Yeah, no.
Like, we're not
you
worried
care
about
your all-star.
Yeah, right, exactly. They're like, all we can control is who we got in this locker room right now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, meanwhile, they're texting every night being like, Debo, will you please come back?
Yeah, but then what the media will do on that one is they'll just see the quote of, this guy says I care about the players who are here, and they'll be like, this guy doesn't miss that guy.
Yeah.
And they're always wildly wrong about it.
And you'll have the once every, like, 10 years or 5 years where someone does the fucked up thing where they actually like criticize a guy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the rule number one is don't fuck with someone else's money.
Mm-hmm.
But you always get that randomly, and it's always great to see. It's like, you fucked up.
Yep.
Okay.
Second one we're going with is some sort of weird mode of transportation. Like someone pulls up in a crazy truck.
Ooh, okay.
Golf cart, you know, Packers on bikes.
Yeah. Yeah. They do that every year. Yeah.
I know. But
yeah.
But
yeah. No, I like
there.
That.
They usually do. There's always one player that pulls up in one of those
Mitch's
weird
car.
One, like the weird three wheel spiders.
Uh huh.
Yeah. You know, the ones that are like you only buy them to wreck them eventually.
Tariq Cohen, I think, had one a few years ago. Yeah.
Oh, didn't AB pull up in the back of a Brinks truck?
And a hot air balloon.
Yeah. And then someone who pulled up, who on Indy did, was it TY pulled up in an Indy car, I think? Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's always a player that still drives their old car.
Yeah.
And then the media writes like five stories about that. Like, wow, can you believe this guy still drives his 2002 Honda?
Or the GM trades up and.
Well, I was talking about Alfred Morris. I think Alfred Morris is still driving his 97 Honda Accord.
Yeah. Okay. Next pick. Good pick.
We're going to go with a fat lineman catch a punt at the end of practice.
Oh, yeah. That's good. That's good.
Good for morale.
Good for morale.
Lets everyone out early. I like that.
And if he drops it, they usually give him another chance. And they're like, okay, the coach doesn't want to be out here either.
Yes, yes.
That's a good pick, Hank.
Okay.
It's Bubba.
Good pick, Bubba.
PFT, where do you want to go with this? I got a lot.
I like the first one that that I sent to you.
Okay.
And you also had it on your list.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So that's
combined with what happens beforehand.
Yeah, exactly. So if there's a fight, then right afterwards it's, man, these guys just can't wait to start hitting somebody else. They're sick of hitting each other.
Yes.
They want some new blood out there.
Yeah, the fight boils over and everyone's like, ooh, should we be worried about this? Like, no, you don't understand. Like, this is camp. These guys, they're ready. They just want to hit anything else.
Yeah, they're sick of each other.
Yeah. I love the fight because the fights usually always involve, like, a 300-pound lineman and, like, a 150 wide receiver.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, it's always just a crazy mismatch. You're like, what are you doing?
There's usually like a cornerback that will instigate it.
Yeah.
And you know, cornerbacks, they like to talk a lot. And so they keep talking to an offensive lineman from like Iowa who then grabs him by the face mask and then slams him through the crust of the earth.
Yes. Yes. Okay. For our next one, we both sent it and we sent it back to each other as well. So, the QB that's ready to take the next step, that's finally learned the offense.
Mm-hmm.
So it's usually second year, and it's like this guy feels comfortable with the terminology. He knows the playbook. Everyone's kind of fitting together. The system makes sense to him. It's usually the second or third year where offensive coordinator and QB are together. That's always a great storyline.
Yeah, it's good to have some familiarity in the offseason, not have to learn everything on the fly. I also think that in this case, this year is not so much a second-year quarterback I'm looking at for this one. I feel like Derek Carr is that guy this year. It's like this is the year that Derek Carr takes that next
step. Josh McDaniels will unleash Derek Carr.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yes. Okay.
MVP, 2,500.
Oh.
Wow.
Jersey Jerry.
Is that an official pick?
Yeah, Jersey Jerry gave it to me. I put it in. It's the first future
MVP
I have.
MVP of the whole league?
Yeah.
It's not AFC, NFC.
Listen, I trust Jersey Jerry, and this was the pick he gave me, and I put it in, and now I'm just speaking it out loud.
Okay.
And we'll be rooting for it.
You know, his name.
It seems
it's
a little
Derek
crazy.
Carr.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, I get it. Ha,
okay.
Ha.
No, I was just saying, like, this is Derek Carr that we're talking about.
Right. Derek Carr.
Right.
We're talking about the same Derek Carr.
With one of the best wide receivers.
Actually.
And one of the best offensive coordinators. And they had a lot of promise last year.
I'm actually going to, my MVP pick, I'm going to, I
plus
actually, this is another thing I was thinking about, just daydreaming about football. I think I'm going to pick Russell Wilson because it's like, you know that the narrative's
that's
there.
Insane.
Why?
No,
that's way less insane than fucking Derek
Carr. I like the Broncos to win the AFC too.
If the Broncos are incredible, Russell Wilson will get all the credit.
Yeah.
All of it. True. Everything.
True. You're right. I don't think they're going to be.
Also,
bad. You're right.
Peyton Manning, his first year in Denver, what happened?
Mm-hmm.
He went fucking nuts.
Exactly.
True. All right.
Because he had, what's his name as his OC? Fucking former Adam Gase.
Mm. Yep.
Genius.
Yep.
Boy wonder.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go, speaking of Russell Wilson, he was a two-sport athlete.
It's just great to talk about football with the guys.
Football's back. We're going to go with a two-sport athlete that made the training camp roster, but everyone knows he's going to get cut.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like Tim Tebow.
Yeah. Yep.
Like a high profile, maybe like sometimes it's like a sprinter or something.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it's like it's a news for a week, and you're like, oh, shit, like this would be crazy, and then he gets cut like 3 days later.
Yep. Always a fun one where you're like, yeah, he's usually like the first guy get cut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he ran like a 9.4.
Yeah,
for
he has
like
one
LSU
day.
Track.
He has one day.
They need to bring back Tebow this year. Can we just put our cards on the table and say we miss Tebow? I miss Tebow. You guys all miss Tebow, definitely, right?
I just would like to see him try to block more.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like those preseason highlights were laugh out loud funny.
Yeah.
When he was just getting run over by everybody.
Yes. That part definitely.
Bring back Tebow.
We're going to go with...
you have two picks now.
Two picks. Our first one is going to be...
Bill, your internet's cutting out on you.
A player showing up fat.
Ooh, okay.
That's one. You know, mm-hmm. Eddie Lacy. And it's like, is he fat?
Leonard Fournette.
Mm-hmm. Leonard Fournette was the newest one.
Yeah.
But guys
showing
up too
season.
Fat.
Bad angle season. Yeah, first couple days of camp is always bad angles. You get a picture of someone, you're like, is he fat?
I haven't seen a lot of follow-up on what happened to Leonard Fournette, because I would assume that if he really was fat... we'd still be talking about it, right? Or was there just like a bad report that
was out there? he got the lucky bounce of there was reports that he was fat and it was like a week before camp started. And that's just, you can just lose 10 pounds of water weight in a second.
Yeah.
So then he shows up fine. It's the guys who show up for the first day and it's like, ooh, that's not great.
Yeah.
The conditioning tests are so funny because they're the easiest things ever. I remember I used to do it. I used to do the Bears conditioning test, and I pass it every year. They're just basically saying, are you a fat fuck?
I drank.
Like, did you actually get in the gym once in the offseason?
Yeah, I drank an entire bottle of Mad Dog and then went out and did the conditioning test, the Albert Hainsworth one that he failed.
Yeah.
It's very easy to
do. Very easy. Very easy. Okay, you guys have another one?
Yeah, it's going to be a rookie saying something out of context or going viral for just being – a rookie like Jamar Chase last year.
Uh-huh.
He's talking about catching the balls, and I was like, oh, he's going to be a bust, and he's unreal.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I so like that one.
Rookie saying something that people go crazy about.
Yep. Yes.
All right. Good pick. We're going to go.
Look at the positivity.
Yeah.
Hank's about to blow this one.
I'm a sweet dick. No, this is my favorite one. Common storyline. One of the best ones every year. It's a star quarterback banging his mom's best friend.
Mm. Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one.
Classic.
Yeah. Got
that
dog.
Is a very good one.
Very enjoyable storyline. I wish there was more follow-up from that, too.
Yeah. Yeah, really, the media's dropped the ball on that one.
I know.
No one has asked him one question about that.
Or the other players.
And we have insiders that go to the camp.
Yeah, nobody has spoken up.
They haven't been able
to
get anything.
It's disgusting. No wonder our country's in the shape it's in right now.
Billy, anything?
I plead the fifth.
Okay. All right. All right. Let's go with our last one. What do we got?
Yeah, the last one. The late round or undrafted guy who's turning heads. He's turning heads,
mm-hmm.
and they compare him to a Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this guy's turning heads, not to compare him to Lawrence Taylor, but you can see like some physical similarities.
Yes.
And then the guy ends up getting cut.
Yes. Yes. Where it's just like, okay. And you can also throw him into, he's very similar.
That's usually a Hard Knocks guy too.
Yeah.
Like, that's
Well, it's a combo guy because it's also the guy who's most likely to return a punt or a kickoff in the fourth quarter of a preseason game. And everyone's like, whoa, weapon. And then he's cut.
Yeah, you know, there's always a guy on defense that recovers like a crazy amount of fumbles during the preseason. And as we know about fumble luck, there's a lot of luck that goes into it. But they're like, this guy, I don't know something about it. He's just got a nose for the football.
Yeah.
No, the ball just like happened to fall near his feet three times.
When all the scrubs were playing.
Yeah, and they're like, wait, how come this guy got cut? He recovered three fumbles.
I do love the fourth quarter like highlights. We're like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Well, they are playing all backups. So it's, you know, it does, context matters.
Yep.
I was going to say, I think Victor Cruz is like the only person to ever actually work out from being like nasty in the preseason.
Yeah. Yeah,
like when he went off in that game and he had like three touchdowns.
Yeah,
or something.
Everyone's like, holy fuck, yeah. This guy's insane.
Until Kyle Sloter this year.
Yeah, that's probably going to happen. All right, things we missed. Honorable mentions. We also had a homecoming guy. He basically, if he played within 300 miles, high school or college, of where the team is playing, there's always a storyline like this guy, like it's a homecoming for him.
Yep. Local kid makes good.
Yeah.
There's always a comically wildly inaccurate kicker.
Mm-hmm.
This year it was on the Jags. I think he like hit a coach in the head with a missed field goal. So that just is like cartoonish stuff. Like, oh, he's hit three uprights and then he got his foot stuck in a bucket and fell down and a bottle of water fell on his head.
Mm-hmm.
When the coach says everyone has to earn their spot on this team, that's just BS because like I feel like entering training camp, 45 of the 53 yes. spots are locked
correct.
Up.
Mm-hmm. Correct. The guy who's fully healthy for the first time in his career since his rookie year, Saquon this year, where it's like, I finally had a full off season where I wasn't injured. Watch out. And usually that guy just gets injured again.
I love the players that show up still injured this season from like a lingering injury that they had last year.
Yeah.
So they got held out in October, November, maybe played one game in December with a hamstring issue. And then coach is like, we're going to work him in slowly here in August and make sure he's healthy. We don't want that hamstring to keep being an issue.
Mm-hmm.
And then guess what? The hamstring is still an issue.
Yeah, still an issue. I like the guy guy who unlocks the system. Like the player who they write about and they're like, this guy was made for this offensive system. And it's just some like, it's, you know, usually some slot receiver. Mm-hmm. It's like, this is the perfect fit. They finally have this piece.
If we're talking system talk, just the player saying like, this offense is going to be fun.
Yeah.
Watch out.
Yeah. New offensive system. Holy shit. Watch out.
I thought there's always a guy every year in Hard Knocks that you like just overhype way too much and then overdraft in fantasy.
Yep.
For mm-hmm. sure.
Yep.
It's usually like a wide receiver who yep. just makes a couple good plays.
Yeah, it was for a while. It was a wide receiver. Yeah, no, you're right. You can actually go through the list of guys on each Hard Knocks, and you're like, oh, that's why I drafted him. Whoops.
I like the chemistry that starts to develop. If you have like yep. a new wide receiver in town,
mm-hmm.
it's like, oh, they've been throwing together all offseason. They've developed a great chemistry.
Different energy in the building.
Energy's changed.
Yeah. Usually someone either got added or someone was taken out, and it's like, oh, yeah, different energy.
I like we got a great group of guys. It's always about like a just awesome group of guys mm-hmm. in the locker room.
Yep.
And we think if we all work together and pull in the same direction, we can go on to do some pretty great things this year.
Yes.
Backup quarterbacks just doing weird stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Minshew.
Mm-hmm.
Showering mm-hmm. in compression shorts.
Yeah. Backup quarterbacks having a moment for sure.
Mm.
And then the basics are always fun. Like the defense is ahead of the offense.
Mm-hmm.
Offense is ahead of the defense. Just, so, you know, like I think I saw one quote this year. It was like, we got to start. Oh, it was actually Christian McCaffrey talking about Baker Mayfield. He's like, we got to start winning more sessions.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Like, we got to start winning these.
I like this quarterback finally has weapons.
Mm-hmm.
I like that one.
Yep.
I've been saying that a lot to myself
yeah.
about this offseason.
Yeah.
But, yeah, just finally, you know what? He's got a weapon. He finally has a true number one.
He's going to be unlocked.
Yep.
Yeah, unlocking anything.
I love unlocking guys.
Unlocking in preseason is what it's all about. Anything else? Hank, you got anything that's... I'm trying to think if there's any – the Patriots never really have anything coming, like, big out of training camp.
Yeah, it's just, like, they're still good.
Yeah.
The Bears usually just have some guy that everyone got excited about, got drafted, and then he just is injured all the time. Like, Ryan Pace actually left a burning bag of shit on everyone's doorstep with Tevin Jenkins, who was supposed to be, like, holy shit, he got him in the second round. He's just been injured the whole time.
Yeah, I feel like the lineman punt thing is, like, the only – like, that will always come out of the Patriots.
Always.
Is yeah. there ever a story that comes out of the Patriots camp where it's like Belichick was really pissed off at people today? Like bad practice?
No, I mean, I just enjoy like the reporters that live. We talked about it last show, but they live tweet the scrimmages and like yeah. the 5-on-5s and
best.
Stuff that like mean nothing and
nothing.
Aren't even.
They're like fifth pass of the day, got deflected, intercepted. Oh, shit.
Oh, you know what I really love? When they're doing those live tweets and all the reporters at once say like, so-and-so, usually like the second wide receiver on the team, just made one of the most spectacular catches you'll ever see in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And then you watch it, and it's just like, okay, that's kind of cool. But then everyone always talks about that one catch that they made.
George Pickens is that guy this year.
Yeah.
I've seen so much stuff about George Pickens, and I think he is going to be very good.
Mm-hmm.
But people are talking like he's the greatest wide receiver of all time.
After he might be.
Four training camp practices.
He might be.
Last one I had was just the team goes bowling. That's always fun. Or plays mini golf.
Yeah.
That's always a fun little moment. I feel like teams, though, don't go to, like, camp anymore. You know what I mean?
They do. They don't stay away. They don't do sleepaway camp.
Mostly, maybe it's a COVID thing. But, like, aren't most teams just in their facility now?
The Panthers are doing it.
They're somewhere else.
I have a little.
I guess the Cowboys are in Oxnard. I don't think the Bears.
I got a who's back.
Rookie haircuts.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's are they allowed to do that anymore?
I don't know. Also, don't they do, like, talent shows a lot, too?
Yeah, the rookie talent show.
Yeah.
They always do an impression of the coach.
Yeah.
Are we mixing up Hard Knocks moments with training camp stories?
Well, Hard Knocks is a documentary about training camp.
I know, but, like, it's usually what comes out of the media.
No, but this comes out as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're also kind of the media.
Yeah, we are the media. Fuck the media.
The
media is always making their own cheesesteaks and pushing shit on us.
You ever think about just maybe killing yourself, Billy, because you are the liberal media?
What the fuck?
You are who you hate. You woke up one day.
I'm the biggest lib.
Yeah,
I'm a three-time winner.
Billy always tells himself, "Learn to code."
Yeah. All right, this has got me very, very excited for football.
I'm super excited for football. Oh my god.
All right, let's do who's back.
Hey, it's PFT here talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started. I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or Bike Plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
My who's back of the week is people talking about celebrities using private jets.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
We talked about this on this show, must have been last week, with Kylie Jenner. And I don't know if it was in response to that. Maybe it was like a Kris Kardashian thing, like trying to get all the bad PR off Kylie. But a top 10 list got released of the celebrities that use the most carbon emissions and like take private jets and private flights the most. It's a good list.
Is Leo on there?
No, here, I got the list. Leo's not on
Leo
there.
Leo keeps fucking telling us about the planet.
It's Travis Scott, who's Kylie's husband.
What are you going to say, Billy?
No, I thought Hank was about to, like, the Brazilian president retweeted Leonardo DiCaprio and was going after him for his private jet use.
Oh, because he wants to keep tearing down the rainforest.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oprah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That
the big
out.
O, she's allowed. Wherever. She gets a pass.
Mark Wahlberg.
Uh-huh. Yeah. He has to stay ready. He has to stay ready. He has to be on planes.
Okay. All right. Maybe I'll say for Mark Wahlberg, stop taking private plane all the time. Or maybe sleep in one day a week, and then you can take the private plane.
Kim K.
Okay.
Okay.
Blake Shelton.
Mm. Okay. Not Blake of the Year material. Our Blake of the Year takes fucking
the
Saudi Prince's private plane. That thing gets a lot of people around.
Steven Spielberg.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Whoa. Okay.
A-Rod.
We've been on A-Rod. Beautiful plane.
It is an unbelievably nice plane.
It's an incredible plane. I'm not going to.
If I had that plane, I would probably cruise it around as well.
If I had that plane, I would fucking take it to the bodega. Like, I would go down the street. I'd be like, yeah, let me hop on this real quick.
Jay-Z and Beyonce. Floyd Mayweather.
That's not fair to combine them into one.
No, I actually
did
that
myself.
Because they
go to separate meetings.
They actually were both on the list. Next to each other.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Wait, who has more?
I think.
Probably Beyonce.
Yeah, I think Beyonce was 3 and Jay-Z was 4. Floyd Mayweather. And then number one surprised people because she's been outspoken against it was Taylor Swift.
Oh, no.
She's taken it. It's only been since January in her private jet. And then, you know, her PR team said that she lends the plane out and it's not her on all these planes. But 110 trips. Since January, and like the average trip is like 80 minutes.
Haters gonna hate.
That's a fact.
The Swifties are, you know, I've never, they're psychopaths and they're, you know, clapping
back. Like our
former
coworker?
Yeah, I mean, there's Michael just all, Rappaport? You know, Swifties go hard.
Michael Rappaport does go hard for Taylor Swift.
And they're on their high horse. They always like to, you know, prop her up, you know, say she's the queen. And,
he's always tweeting that snake emoji out.
You say prop her up or prop her
up? Prop her up. Like, you know.
Prop her up like the lads. The Conor McGregor whiskey?
No, like prop.
Whiskey?
Prop.
Prop her up?
Her up.
Is it a plane pun you're using? Prop?
Is that a plane thing?
Well, a prop plane.
Oh, they don't use props. They
no,
fly,
I know.
They fly with jets.
No.
Twin engine,
I
usually.
I know.
Yeah.
Listen, this is one of those things that, well, maybe they should probably use less planes, especially if they're going to... Hypocrites, fuck hypocrites, right? Like, if people are That's what I was saying. If Leo's on that list, I'm going to be mad.
Well, I was shocked that Al Gore wasn't on that list because usually he is included on those.
But
the anti-Swifties, you know, they're having a few good days.
The Swift boaters.
But what I'll say again is we've been lucky enough to fly private every now and then. It is pretty fucking awesome. Like if you have the means to do it like these people do, it's probably the coolest rich thing you can do.
I remember the first time that you flew on Dave's plane somewhere, and I was like, I would never I'm a coach guy. I'm highly coached.
Yeah, and then
I'm a coach's son.
And then you just happened to be on the next trip.
And then I got on the next one. I was like, yeah, you know what? All my previous concerns completely out the window. Fuck the environment.
So you just show up and you don't have to go to an airport, and then you just land, and then there's a car to pick you up. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Nice.
Yeah. So
just don't end up on the top 10 list. You're
fine. Just don't be a hypocrite. Like what I'm saying right now, I would be hypocritical to be like, how could these fucking people do it, knowing that like for college football's show we like fly on private or rough and rowdy. I'm saying flying private is fucking sweet, so I'm not going to judge anyone.
Okay, I think that every private plane, if you're on this list, you should have to carry bombs on it. Not like in a suitcase. I mean, like, the plane should be armed. So, like, there's a chance of a giant mishap happening while you're on the plane.
Okay.
Just add a little bit of danger to it.
Okay, okay. It also is funny, like, it would be funny if it was, I'm trying to think what school would be, who's had, like, a bunch of coaches coaching carousel? Like if Florida was on there, if the Florida Gators were on there for one of the top, you know, users, that's really what it is. We have to defend private planes because without private planes, college football crumbles.
Mm-hmm. And the coaching searches, nothing happens.
Coaching searches, recruiting, all this shit.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Who's back?
Yeah. And then
Jack Homa.
Top 25 finish.
Oh, Jack Homa did.
So he's back.
Maxwell is such a perfect.
I think Max only comes out in the majors. Mm. I think that's when it's Max.
When he needs to make a cut.
Yeah. It's Jack when it's at the Fortnite challenge.
Mm-hmm. He should go back and forth. Okay, your who's back, PFT.
Okay, my who's back. I've actually addressed, I think, most of my who's backs already. So I had DeGrom. DeGrom's making his first start for the Mets on Tuesday.
Yeah, that's coming up.
It's coming up
so
later.
We haven't addressed it yet.
He's back.
teaser.
Yeah.
No, teaser for later. DeGrom is back. And then I also had who's back? The motherfucking NFL is back.
So back.
And Tony Finau is back. Tony Finau is back to back.
To back.
Is what he is right now.
He's going
to
win again.
He's back to back to back.
Would have been taking a lot more private jets if you had won the lottery. But
that's true. Yeah, so losing. For me, losing's back. So I don't know what else I can do, but I paid $500 in lottery tickets, and that still wouldn't win. It was a bad investment. What can I say? I thought it was going to win. I'd already started to spend the money. Turns out Stephen Che absconded with the winning ticket, and now he's MIA. So if you get eyes on Stephen Che, he has the winning lottery ticket.
My problem it's the same with 50-50, is that I went and bought 500 tickets, and I was like, well, but the next one's probably going to win.
Yeah.
So then I ended up buying like $700 tickets. I also, shout out our good friend Biz. I think Biz actually thought we were going to win. He called me like 2 hours before and was like, we got to strike a deal. And I was like, okay. And he's like,
I mean, that guy's hustler.
Yeah, he was
that
like,
guy is
he's
hustling
like, if
24/7.
I win, I'll give you $25 million. And I was like, let's make it 50, dude. Why, like, what are we doing here? And then he was like, what about PFT and Hank? I was like, well, if I win, I'm going to take care of them. He's like, all right, if I win, I'll take care of them too. I was like, all right,
let's go.
Cool. So you guys in business. But then he was like, so how many tickets are you going to buy? And I was like, I've already bought like $700 worth of tickets. He's like, oh, I was going to buy like two. You motherfucker.
Doesn't work like that. $500 worth of tickets. It was so many tickets to get. Like, I was walking around feeling scared. I felt like I should have a briefcase that was handcuffed to my arm.
Yeah.
I was afraid to be walking around with what was essentially, I thought, $1.2 billion.
Yes.
It was tough. And then I thought, after I lost the drawing, on which I spent $500 in lottery tickets, maybe the worst investment of all time, I was like, wait, isn't now statistically the best time to play the lottery right after I missed the giant drawing? Maybe now I should go back and buy $500 worth of lottery tickets because my strategy was off.
Yeah.
And I convinced myself of that. So I think I'm going to be buying $500 worth of lottery tickets because now is when you're most likely to win the lottery.
I'd agree.
It's like after a big plane crash, that's the safest time to fly.
That's a fact. Lightning doesn't strike
twice. I actually think it's the most dangerous time to fly.
Right after?
Well, if there's a pilot that like downs his own plane, that's the most dangerous day to fly is the day after. Because it's in the news, and so other pilots see that, and maybe one of them would be like, yeah, fuck, you know, oh, I'm thinking about it.
Down. Yeah.
I guess this is something that we're doing now.
I had the residual rush of, it was Illinois that got the winning ticket, and like I saw where it was sold. I think it was an Oasis in I can't remember, maybe it was outside Park Ridge. I can't remember exactly which town had it. But I texted like everyone I knew around that area. So, and one of them didn't get back. One of my friends didn't get back to me for a while. And I was like, he fucking won. He's going to keep me out of it. Mm-hmm. Turns out, no, because they didn't play the lottery.
I think my big mistake was I bought my ticket at 7-Eleven. You have to buy it at like a independent bodega or convenience store.
Yes.
One, like the dirtiest gas station in town.
It's got to be a store.
I went corporate. Yeah. It's never at a 7-Eleven.
Yeah. All right. My who's back is pizza. This went viral. It was going to be a Monday reading, but we got a big show announcement. And also, what are you laughing about?
No, you're just making me laugh. Sorry.
Okay. Sorry.
Like a clown?
Yeah. How do I make you laugh?
Like ha-ha funny?
Yes. Like a clown.
But I'll just read it real quick. This went viral over the weekend. It's quick reading. It says, my boyfriend won't stop calling me Tony Pizza. I, female 21, and my boyfriend, male 21, currently live together and have been together about 4 months. To explain why we were living together after the four-month mark, we started out as roommates but then started dating. I have to say my boyfriend has never been good at pet names. Some early ones were Little Stubster, Sour Meat, and one of my nicknames for him in comparison is Little Bird. Anyway, about 2 weeks ago, he starts calling me Tony Pizza. This doesn't even make sense, and he uses it more often than my actual name. He's obsessed. It honestly bothers me that he can't even bother to find a somewhat nice nickname for me. I have had a couple conversations with him about it, but he says he just can't think of anything better. What do I do? Is this going to become a major, a bigger problem, or should I even address it? I hate being Tony Pizza. All-time backfire for this chick, because everyone was like, your boyfriend rocks. Tony Pizza is a hilarious nickname.
Is it Tony with an I or Tony with a Y?
Tony with a Y. And also, like, bury the lead much, he called you Sour Meat, and you were fine with it, and Tony Pizza was too much? And
it's also better than, what was the other one, like,
Stubbs? Little Stubster.
Yeah, Little Stubster. That's never good.
I mean, Sour Meat, there's got to be some meat that's sour there. Like, that didn't come out of nowhere.
Maybe see your Objin.
Yeah, Tony Pizza's a great nickname.
Yeah, Tony Pizza's not bad. You're named after maybe the most delicious food. Tony's just a cool name.
Yeah. I would just imagine. Shout out Elio. His restaurant is Tony Pizza.
Just imagine to yourself that your name is Tony with an I, and then it becomes a cool name if you're a chick.
There's also like a 5% chance this guy's an AWL and he's just in fantasy fuckboy season.
Tony Pizza.
Yeah, hey, what's up, guys? It's Tony Pizza.
Yeah.
I got my girlfriend. She's got a stinky ass pussy.
Like Tony.
I call her Sour Meat.
Tony Pizza. Tony Pizza to me just reminds me, like, it's a name that you would say out of affection, unlike Sour Meat,
right,
which is one that you're saying to bust balls.
Yes.
Do you really like pizza?
Yeah.
Is that your thing? Oh, well, guess what? Get in line, because everyone else does too.
Yeah.
You're just honored with the nickname of it.
Tony Pizza. Yeah, but it was such a hilarious backfire because it was a universal, like, very rare that the internet can decide 100% on one thing. And everyone was like, Tony Pizza's a hilarious nickname.
Yeah, I like Tony Pizza.
Yeah, Tony Pizza. We need a Tony Pizza. Okay, Billy, your who's back?
My first who's back is Piss Jugs.
How many you got?
I got two, maybe three.
Okay. Piss Jugs are back.
Feel it out. You'll feel it out here.
I'll feel it out. Piss Jugs, apparently.
It's a few either way. Yeah.
From an inside source I have. Something that was posted to the NFL Reddit. The Carolina Panthers apparently have been having a piss jug problem in their facilities. They're all just having tons of piss jugs everywhere.
How's that a problem?
It's not. I love piss jugs.
It'd be a problem if they didn't empty them. That's the only way it could be a problem.
Wait. Are you saying, I want to back up a little bit, because the way you started the story was, I've got inside information into the situation. I found it posted on the NFL Reddit. So your inside information is your Reddit password?
Exactly.
Okay.
All right. So here's, I have another follow up question, because I'm kind of interested in the mind of Billy. I'm just trying to get into your mind, figure out what makes you tick. What's the deciding factor whether you go two or three here?
What's our relationship with Jake Paul like nowadays?
Non-existent. Really? Off. Yeah. Whatever. Okay. Like. Wait, Logan is the one we really like.
Yes.
Yeah.
Jake is, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, well, one of his fights got canceled. The guy pulled out.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but that, I mean, well, whose side are you taking, Billy? I was doing some toilet research earlier.
It's not just
watch out. Hank's got some toilet research.
There's two sides of the story.
There's two sides of the story.
And he's not just some guy. He's a former heavyweight champion, Haseem Rahman. So, like, he's a legitimate boxer. Now he's...
No, that's his son.
Yeah, no.
Oh, it's his son?
Yeah. He's not...
Okay.
No, that's definitely not him. Haseem Rahman.
I didn't do enough
Jr.
toilet research. My bad.
So,
yeah, why don't you leave it up to the experts here?
To be honest, I did driving research, which is worse than toilet research. Well, so that's... You can understand how I saw Rahman, and then my brain just put two and two together as I was on the highway. I was like, oh, it's the guy that was a fucking heavyweight champion of the world.
Well, mine is TikTok research.
Okay. All right, so you got toilet and TikTok research. Yeah. Let's see who's got better research.
No, so basically there was a dispute about the weight. It had to do with the New York State Commission. They said that Rahman was too heavy net right now to fight in a week at the 200-pound weight limit to weigh in at 200 pounds.
But what's the point of a weigh-in then?
Right, so that's where it gets weird. It has to do with the rehydration clause, which is something that, so Rahman's much bigger than Jake Paul.
He was going to just lose like 20 pounds of water weight.
Well, yeah. He signed the contract to fight at 200. He's like 225 right now, and he loses a lot of money. There's a big, like, he loses, 25% per pound that he's overweight, and he basically was like, even if I'm overweight, I'll just fight for whatever the minimum.
Bullshit.
Like, I'll fight for 5K. I don't care. And then he's saying that Jake Paul was scared of him fighting at a heavier weight and backed out.
Well, the thing is, Jake Paul wouldn't beat him at 215.
Yeah, like, I'm on Jake Paul's side. Like, 10 pounds in boxing is a lot. Right. And you're walking around.
And he signed the contract to fight at 200.
Yeah, and it sounds like it's 25
pounds.
Well, the thing
is, he has 3 weeks. He lost. He went from 230 to 215 in, like, a week.
Yeah, but he could get down to 200. It's just he could get weigh in at 200 and then come back, but then it would be the rehydration clause.
Right.
So Jake Paul would be fighting a guy with the dehydration.
Yeah, it's 25 pounds heavier.
Way more dehydrated and probably win because he wasn't hydrated enough to fight.
It sounds like there are too many weigh-ins in this fight. There should be one weigh-in.
Yeah, the weigh-in before the weigh-in.
It's the weigh-in. Either that or you have... Like, a post weigh-in, and you're allowed to gain, like, up to 10 pounds back after the second weigh-in,
which is
the official weigh-in.
There's also a lot of Twitter reply guys, who knows the truth of this or not, that are saying the fight wasn't selling well at all.
Oh. Yeah.
And so Jake was kind of like, whatever, he found an out and took it. Because it is, like, worrying this much about weight this far ahead of the fight is kind of crazy.
Also, Dylan Danis is spreading spreading unconfirmed rumors that there was offers of a dive to Rahman and he didn't take it. And then it was like, oh, it's a real fight. So who knows how that's going.
It'd be a real shame if somebody were to spread rumors like that all the time about things that they didn't know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, who knows? I mean, the thing is, it's funny because
like Jake Paul.
How much was he going to get paid for the dive? And how long would it? What would he said? Like my shoulder or what?
I don't know. But the thing is, what's funny about all these problems is that, like, Jake Paul's running into like all the problems like the boxing promoters did in like the 1930s, and that's what you get for like competing outside of sanctioned WBA, WC.
Yeah.
Like, it's like history repeating itself. Like, this type of stuff like happened in like the 20s when it was lawless land.
Would there be anything worse though than if you were a fighter on that card, like one of the undercards, and you train for that long and then it's like, oh yeah, you're not gonna fight next week? That'd be such a letdown.
Counterpoint,
canceling plans.
It is the summer and you got a six pack.
That's true.
So that's kind of cool.
I would just be pissed off at all the work that I did that I didn't have to do.
Yeah,
I would go back and I'd look at the calendar and be like, could have gotten drunk on St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
I couldn't eat a shitload of cheesecake on Valentine's Day. I would get really mad.
I would just walk around without a shirt on for the entire summer.
Well, Amanda Serrano's the big loser in all of this.
Oh, because she was on the card?
Yeah.
Yeah, that does suck.
Oh, another who's back is Liver Shots. Did you see that dude in the UFC match get knocked out via a kick to his liver?
Uh-huh, he's going to be pissing blood
fucking
for a while.
I love Liver Shots. I've heard that they're the most painful thing that can happen to you.
Yeah.
Is to get contacted directly in your liver because it's got all these nerve endings in there. And then to get knocked down via a kick to your liver, and then instantly after, when you're in the most pain that a person can be in, you're also just getting punched in the face repeatedly.
Yes.
I would rather die.
Yeah.
I would honestly just, if you're thinking about doing that to me, just shoot me in my head.
Mm-hmm. The worst one I ever saw was Brock Lesnar against Alistair Overeem.
Yeah.
He got liver shotted and just got pounded.
Ugh.
That's my kink, is watching liver shot compilations.
Watch that one when you get the chance. Because Brock Lesnar, a monster of
I've seen that one, yeah.
Going down.
It's like some, like, it looks like magic. because you're like, wait, he just got hit in like the side. That shouldn't hurt. And then they just die.
And they usually get, there's like a half second where they don't realize they're in pain yet. And they take that next step and then they stop.
It's like Kill Bill.
Yeah, it's crazy.
All right. Oh, you have one more?
Yeah. The Guardian protective gear. What do you guys think about that?
Go on.
They had that new helmet.
No, wait. Pretend that we don't know.
I know. I'm just going to say I hate it. What do you think, Big Cat?
I think it's the pussification of America.
Okay.
It's a big storyline.
Yeah, I mean, so basically in training camp.
Oh, that. Okay. You should have said the bumblebee hats.
I was, yeah.
The Velcro looking thing they put on top of the helmets.
Yeah.
Pussification of America.
There it is. I nailed it.
Salah has a great take. His take is that because it's that extra protection, players are going to actually start using their heads more with it.
Yeah.
And then as soon as they take it off for a real game.
But
they're not using it for boxing.
They're not using it for full pads. They were using it when they were just doing the first few days with no pads. Right?
No. They use it in full pads.
Oh, they do?
To prevent the sub-concussive blows that happen a multitude of times in training camp.
I think it just looks funny.
Yeah.
I think they should get rid of helmets altogether. No helmets. Stop using your heads.
I guess.
And also, you can only pass the ball backwards. And then touchdowns, you actually have to touch the ball down there with five, and then the extra points with two.
I got
to
start doing the big head pictures with those. I'm going to do one right now. It's going to be fucking sick. Yeah, all right, keep going.
A lot of guys hate them.
All right, Jake, you're up.
My who's back is text reminders. Big Cat, this one's for you.
Okay.
Todd McShay came on the show in late April. You called him a good friend. And he's like, how am I a good friend? He texts me once a year. So you told me to remind you to text him a few times a day. Today's the day that came up for the first time.
What should I say to him?
Hello, friend.
I'm going to say, what's up, Todd? Hope you're well. And then maybe like a thumbs up emoji. Like, not make it creepy.
Hope you're well. Been following your stuff recently. Great, as always.
Keep crushing it, bro. Yeah. All right, yeah. Let's. All right. Okay, I say.
Ask him about the helmets.
Hey, Todd. Just checking in as friends do. Hope you're well. Keep killing it.
Talk to you in April.
Keep killing it.
No.
Parentheses, but not actually murder. Ha ha.
And then be like, we got to catch up soon.
Yeah. Got to catch up soon.
Talk soon.
Okay, bye. All right, I sent it. He's going to think that's really creepy. Yeah, that probably won't go over well.
We should just call him and ask him to suck our dicks.
Okay, that's aggressive.
Billy, I didn't know you got down like that. My man.
How do you think I knew about this?
What do you mean?
Never mind.
Oh.
There's some people who won't get that reference.
No, I know. People who didn't, who aren't seven time. Yeah, people were like four time.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? That was our past us. It's good that we're past
us. We've evolved as men.
As humans. Now we just go fucking just hand jobs so we can get more people to come.
Just kid stuff.
Yeah. Our mouths got tired. We have two hands, only one mouth. Uh-oh, you put me on the bonk.
Four times today. Four entries.
Okay, let's get to Jake Arrieta. PFT, you got a quick word?
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, we now welcome on our very good friend, colleague, Jake Arrieta, World Series champion, also Cy Young winner. Starting Nine, listen to it. It's out twice a week. They're doing a great job. Carl, shout out my guy Carl. You guys were out at LA, did some great content. We wanted to have you on, Jake, because we got trade deadline coming up. Let's start big picture. You've been on teams that are sellers, teams that are buyers. What is the vibe like in a clubhouse like a day or two before trade deadline where everyone's like, uh-oh, what's going to happen here?
Well, so this past year, when I was with the Cubs and we started getting rid of guys, you know, Chris Bryant was gone, Javi was gone, we got rid of Rizzo. And leading up to that moment, we were still kind of in it, at least a little bit. And then once the first guy gets traded, you're like, well, shit, like, okay, now it seems like we're sellers. We might not have the ability to gain ground in the division, and everyone knows it, and it's a shitty feeling. So it takes a few days for you to kind of get over that, man. And when the guys started leaving, like when Rizzo was traded, I mean, that was an emotional moment, as you guys could imagine, being a part of that big run with all of us. It was hard to see him go, but you kind of understand why it has to happen. It's for the best interest in the organization, but that doesn't mean it's easy for players to deal with. So it's tough. You'd rather be on the buying side when you're in like that wild card situation, kind of like the Mariners are, when you bring in a guy, Luis Castillo went to the Mariners. Like, yes. That's a huge move. So, I mean, the energy, the vibe in the clubhouse only increases. And I mean, when you bring in a guy like that, man, like your chances of you know, maintaining the wild card or overcoming another team and getting into that wild card only goes up. So it sucks to be on the side where you're selling, but you understand it. But you know, when you buy and you get a big piece like that, I mean, man, the vibe couldn't be better in the clubhouse.
Yeah. So you've also been, you were traded from the Orioles to the Cubs in July.
Shout out Scott Feldman.
Yeah. In July of, was it 2013?
Yep.
So was that right around the All-Star break, or was it, were you actually like in the middle of games? Cause I'm always wondering, when you get traded to a new city as a player, you have to also take into account your actual life, and you're moving to a new city, but you're also working and you're traveling and doing all this stuff with a team that takes up so much of your time. Like, what's that process like for a player getting to a new city, having to find a house or having to find a condo or something like that, that they're moving into?
Well, so there's so many people behind the scene. Like, you got VJ, who's the best travel secretary in all of baseball. Shout out to VJ with the Cubs. I mean, he reaches out right away and kind of helps you facilitate that process. And, you know, I have a CPA who I've worked with since I was drafted, who I was connected to through Scott Boras and Boras Corporation. So they take care of, you know, changing utilities and finding you a new place and helping you pack and ship all your stuff to the next city. Some guys don't have that luxury. Some guys are kind of on their own and they have to have their mom or dad or sister, brother, or whatever help them with that. So it can be tough. But for me, I was in a situation where I was just ready to get out of Baltimore. I couldn't wait. I knew a trade was looming. I didn't know where I was going to go. But when I got the phone call that I was traded to Chicago, I'm like, let's go. Like, this is like, it couldn't be a better situation for me. And what happened after that, you know, for the next 3 or 4 years after I was traded, I mean, it's kind of a storybook ending. But yeah, it's a difficult process, but you have to have a support system. And most people do, that can help them find a place to live. Or, I mean, some guys stay in a hotel from the moment they were traded until the end of the season. And, you know, sometimes that's the best way to go.
That to me sounds like that'd be fun. Just like have somebody else make up the bed. That'd be sick.
Yeah. Actually, room service every night.
In my dumb brain, 100%. The hardest part would be joining a new team and then having to learn like all these different new handshakes with every new teammate.
Yeah.
You have to like invent your own new handshakes from scratch.
Yes. Yes.
Well, and also it's like when you walk into a new clubhouse and Scott Feldman was traded, and I know him and Samardzija were tight, and guys are like, you know, we're bringing Pedro Strop and this guy named Jake Arrieta in. Like, why are we doing this? And I totally understand that at the time. And those guys are right for thinking that, because they lost one of their boys, even though they were in a situation where they weren't going to go anywhere in the postseason that season. So for me, when you go in, it's like, hey, let's try and build these relationships as fast as we can, get to know guys, and just be an open book. Like, you know, and I think that's the only way you can approach it, because if you're standoffish and you're quiet in the clubhouse, guys tend to not like that. So I'm shaking hands. I'm asking people personal questions about their girlfriend, their wife, their kids, whatever it might be, just to kind of acclimate myself into that vibe as quick as possible.
All right. So let's talk this trade deadline. Let's start with the big one. Juan Soto. Do you think he gets traded? And if he does, where? I've heard the Cardinals. I've heard the Padres. I've heard maybe the price is too high. Where do you, like, if you gun to your head, what are you saying Juan Soto happens on Tuesday?
Well, as you guys know, anywhere that Juan Soto would land makes that team instantly, you know, extremely better. So I heard Jake Peavy give a take on the network about him potentially ending up in San Diego. And I could also see St. Louis. I think St. Louis, it could be kind of a Trojan horse for somebody like Soto. St. Louis is an organization who always finds a way to find these guys. Obviously, Soto isn't just finding a guy, but they always bring guys up, and they're always good. Whether it's development or just high character guys, whatever it is, they always find guys that perform. But I would love to see Soto in San Diego for the simple reason that the Dodgers have just dominated the NL West forever. And if the Padres are serious about taking that next step, what better way to make that statement than to bring in a guy like Juan Soto?
Yeah.
So you've worked with Boris before. What are the communications like behind the scenes when they're talking contract? It's all going back and forth. How much information is he giving you about the status of the contract versus, like, what are you hearing through the grapevine? Are there leaks that come out from other people? Like, what's that process like from your end?
Yeah, well, typically, like, the leaks that come out are bullshit, and the rumors, there's really, sometimes there might be some merit to it, but I'd say 9 out of 10 times the information that is factual, that is actually hard information, hard facts, is going from the team to the agent to the player. And in my situation, that's always been the case. I mean, I've gotten calls from Scott at 2 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, with, hey, we just got off the phone with the GM from Baltimore, the GM from San Diego, and this is what the deal is, or this is what they would like to do moving forward. So, and I know A-Rod said what he said about, you know, the player's the boss, not the agent. And that's true. But would you ever walk into court and represent yourself in a huge, huge case without an attorney? That's not what's going to happen. So if we were able to negotiate these contracts on our own, we would do that. But we can't do that. And that's why we have advisors and agents like all the players do in the entire league.
Was he trying, like, I know Scott, from my understanding and what he's done with a lot of players, he likes his players to get to free agency because that's good.
Yes.
Not just for them, because, you know, they can command a higher price on the open market, but also all the other guys that he represents, that increases their salary as well. What's that back and forth like, where you're like, you know, okay, I need to balance his advice to me with me saying, you know, I would like to make a lot of money, but also the situation is important too. And if I'm in a good situation, I want to stay there.
Well, I think what people fail to remember is that Scott has 10, 20, 30, 40, or 100 clients that aren't these marquee free agents that sign, you know, these smaller contracts every single year. But people really love to focus on the, you know, like the blue chip free agents that he has, and they wonder why somebody would turn down a deal like Juan Soto. Juan Soto is worth 60, 70 million to a team per season. Same thing with Bryce Harper. That contract is going to pay for itself. It's probably already paid for itself. The amount of jerseys and tickets that guys like that sell, and their ability to get guys in the stadium and in the seats, the revenue that they generate, it supersedes the contract by far. But that can be a difficult situation. If you have an AAV, a contract, say 4 years for, you know, 120 million on the table, and you're saying, and your agent's telling you can get, you know, 25 million a year, that's a difficult situation, because if you say no to that contract, it could go away. So what you got to do is you have to process the information. You have to consult your family, obviously your advisors, and then ultimately it's your decision. And some guys have made poor decisions based on the information that they've gotten from their agent. There's no way around it, and that's always going to be the case. Players aren't always going to get, you know, maintain the upper hand. Sometimes the team gets the best of you, and sometimes the player wins.
Yeah. There's definitely times when you see that, where a guy gets, like, he signs a deal and it's like, ooh, that wasn't the best deal. He could get way more. I want to talk about your former team, the Orioles. So this is a little bit, there's a rooting interest for me, because I do have a ticket for the Orioles to win the AL at 400-1. I was reading that they might be sellers, and like Trey Mancini might get traded. Like,
I saw that too.
Yeah. Like, so here's what I don't understand, and it's not apples to apples, but like the 2015 Cubs, at the trade at the All-Star break or halfway through, were, you know, a few games over 500. They weren't the best team in Major League Baseball. They were a lot of young guys coming up, like starting, like things were progressing quickly. It feels like the Orioles are in that boat where it's like things are happening faster. Why not? You don't have to buy big things, but why not buy a couple things to show that, like, hey, let's try to give a push to get to the playoffs instead of being sellers and pushing it off again? Because don't you think that has a detriment to, like, what the Orioles are building if they start selling off pieces when they're three games away from the wild card this year?
Well, so where is Trey Mancini at in his contract? Is it, will he be a free agent after this year or next year?
I think it might be after this year, but it I think it's after this year. I'll double check it right now.
Well, so if you're going to buy, you have to think about this, which I'm sure you have. What are you potentially giving up pieces that could be a part of your future that next year you might have a shortstop that's ready, to hit the ground running, make the team out of spring training, or a right fielder, or a guy off the bench who could play multiple positions as a utility guy. So, man, it's just so hard to have these meetings. That's why I said I would not want to trade places with guys in the front office. And sometimes we talk shit about them and we give them a hard time, but it's a pretty difficult job, because if you make the wrong decision and you give up a high prospect that's going to be ready to help your ball club in the next season or two to get a rental player, and then you don't make the wild card, it's like, hey, why the hell did you make that decision? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, definitely. I just looked it up. He does have one more year with the Orioles, but
he's got one more year.
So in 20,
so then you could. Okay, so that's, you got one more year of them. So you could command a higher price for him.
Yeah,
but then you're also losing him and his ability for what he could potentially do for you next season.
And team leader. But, like, all right, so back to the 2015 Cubs, you know, they didn't make a splash. They got Dan Heron, who's a good friend of ours. But, like, yeah, it was the sign of, like, hey, we're going to add, even if it's a smaller piece, let's add something and keep pushing. I feel like the Orioles, maybe I don't know the situation well enough, but I feel like they're playing great baseball. Like,
they're playing good.
They're right there. I'd rather try to get my young guys into the playoffs to give them that seasoning than potentially, you know, shed some parts and keep pushing it down to the next, you know, next year.
Well, what do you think about, so they're, what is it, three games out of the wild card currently?
I think they're two or three.
Something like that. So, and with the juggernaut at the top of the division, and you have Tampa, right? Other than that, Toronto's been up and down. They have been playing great. Boston,
it's been
looks
bad.
Like shit. Then they play great. Maybe you just roll with the guys you got.
Yeah,
and see where you're at, because at least that way, that kind of gives the players in that clubhouse confidence. Like, hey, they didn't bring anybody in. They think that we can potentially, you know, get into a wild card spot with the group we have, and just that, like, if that takes the confidence from like a 7 to an 8 or whatever, if it just takes that, you know, that vibe up just one notch, maybe they get into the wild card.
Yeah.
And if, you know, you never want to see guys get injured, but things happen all the time. If Boston continues to play poorly, if Toronto doesn't play that well, if, you know, say Tampa slides, you know, several games, they're right in it. So
yeah.
I actually don't hate the idea of just rolling with the guys they currently have.
Yeah. That, you don't even have to buy. They're three games out right now. They do have two teams in front of them, but it's going to be, you know, like, one of these teams is going to get hot. Like, if you look at the AL wild card right now, Toronto, Seattle, Tampa Bay are in, Cleveland, Chicago White Sox, and then Baltimore, the next three. One of those six teams is going to get crazy hot and, like, you know, run away with the wild card. That's just going to happen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And somebody's going to one or two, maybe three teams are going to lose 10 in a row,
right,
or lose, you know, 8 of 10, and Baltimore could go, you know, 8-2. So, I mean, there's still so many games to play, and that's why I love to see so many teams still in contention for the wild card. And Carl and I talked about this last week on one of our shows. You never want to see teams talk about the wild card in the first half, because if they're talking about the wild card in the first half, it's like, oh, well, you're already giving up on the division.
Right.
But now after the All-Star break, teams start to see kind of where they fit in. And not that you don't still have an opportunity to win that division, but you see teams just a game or two ahead of you, and it's like, hey, we're fighting for that spot, and we still have a legitimate chance to get into that thing.
Yeah, I think we're looking at it from the aspect of, like, what's the best baseball move to make, and a lot of these teams, I think, are looking at it from a financial aspect, Probably the Orioles, actually, now that I think about it. They probably just don't want to pay anybody.
Trey Mancini's their highest paid player at 7.5. So actually, highest paid player is actually Chris Davis, who doesn't play for the team anymore.
Yeah, Peter Angelos is probably sick of writing these big paychecks. Oh, let's make a move. Yeah. And then, you know, let the chips fall with the after that.
But, like, when you have guys, and this is what bothers me about sports. You guys are sports guys. I know you love football, basketball, baseball, hockey. Does it bother you when you hear you hear billionaires complaining about spending money for their team? Because if you don't like it, I guarantee you there's 100 other billionaires that'll line up to buy your team.
The way I look at it, if you're a billionaire and you own a sports team and you don't care about winning, like go buy a natural gas company. Go make money off something else.
Or just continue like Peter Angelos. Go continue to do asbestos lawsuits.
Yes. Follow your passion.
Make $250 million per suit and give the team to somebody else.
Yeah.
Just bothers me. And people always like hate on the players. Oh, they're greedy. No, the owners are cheap.
Yeah.
The owners are cheap.
So we always take the mindset on this show. We've said it 100 times. Like, if you're a billionaire and you don't buy a sports team, there's something wrong with you. Like, red flag. That's the goal. The goal ultimately is to make enough money to buy a sports team. Now, that is the rest of your life. That's your toy. That is the best toy that you can possibly have. And, like, winning a championship or trying to win a championship, to me, like, if you're an owner and you're putting that together, you're playing, like, real-life fantasy sports and you care about your team, like, that's really ultimately the level that everybody should aspire to get to.
No question.
And the owners don't care about that, it's like, go get into insurance. Buy an insurance company. I don't care. Just don't fuck around with, like, an entire city's morale.
Right. Like, Gary Vee needs to buy a sports team. Like, he's a competitive dude. Have you guys had him on the show?
Yeah. No, we haven't had him on the show, but I mean, he would just, I think everyone would, like, some of his advice probably would backfire in a sports team where he's like, think about your whole family getting murdered and then go about your day. Like, that shit, I feel like if he said that to some guys in a clubhouse, they'd be like, what the fuck did you say?
Yeah, well, okay. Yeah, that changes things a little bit.
Maybe they just get really good, though. Maybe the advice would work.
Yeah.
Maybe they were. So did he say that?
Yeah, there's
a
very funny
at a seminar.
Very
yeah.
funny clip.
Oh,
I just
man,
would love
I
for him
that.
To like go into an NFL locker room and be like, everyone here, like, imagine your whole family getting murdered, and then what are you going to do about it? And like, they just all beat the fuck out of him. Be like, fuck you, dude.
Yeah, he'd get torn like from limb to limb. Okay. Maybe he doesn't need it, or just don't address the team if that's what you got.
I think Gary Vee should get a team, just like, hopefully not my team, just somebody else's team.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. But you guys know what I'm saying. And like, I, Peter Angelos, and it's not just, this is not an attack on him. It's all the teams that complain that they're in a market that doesn't do well enough to warrant spending a certain type of money on players. But if I own a team and I'm a billionaire from all these other business ventures, I'm okay with taking maybe a little bit of a loss to sign these players to have a shot to win a championship. They're all wealthy. They're all wealthy. Now, don't you want a ring?
Yeah.
Don't you want to hold that? Don't you want to hold that trophy or whatever sport you're in? Don't you want that? Because I know I would.
Yeah. I said it on a podcast a couple weeks ago. I was like, Elon Musk going to Mars. Like, you know what's cooler than Mars? The Lombardi trophy. Like, win that. That's way cooler than going to Mars. But that's that. What ends up happening with all these guys, I mean, rich people don't like to give away their money. And that's how they get rich, and that's how they stay rich, is they're usually pretty cheap. I agree with you, though. It does drive us insane. All right, so give us another team or player that you think is going to make an impact. Like, there's a lot of teams that, you know, the Yankees are in talks, the Cardinals we mentioned, the Padres. It feels like the Astros – maybe we talk about them for a sec. They have like 7 starting pitchers. Like, are they gonna? They're gonna do the reverse where they're a clear World Series contender, and they might trade someone because they just have too many guys.
Well, that's a serious luxury to have, where you have too much pitching. Because I don't know if there's another team that can say that. But if there's one guy that I would like to see go somewhere else and have an opportunity to win a ring. And you have a chance. If you trade for this guy, you need to sign him, because he's going to be really good for the next 5, 6, maybe 7 years, is Wilson Contreras. I mean, he hasn't been traded yet. And I know that people like, they don't want to see him go, but if you've seen Chris Bryant, Javi, Schwarber, and Rizzo go, you can see anybody play in another uniform. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, and I mean, look, right. Wilson's a crazy person, but he's also, as dedicated to, helping the team win as anybody I've ever seen. And he instantly makes you better. I don't think he makes quite as big of an impact as Juan Soto, because who can? But right. It's pretty damn close.
So, all right. So here's my only question about Wilson. I love Wilson. I hope that I wish the Cubs would keep him, but it doesn't seem that way.
Yeah.
How hard is it though to trade for a catcher at the deadline, knowing that a catcher and a pitcher's relationship is a huge part of the game, and you can't build that overnight? And Wilson, you know, he's not known for, you know, being the best with pitchers. His bat is a plus bat as a catcher. But, and like, yeah, how much does that weigh in?
You got a good point. Look, I've told people this for years. I've talked about it on our show. I think it's ridiculous when guys have to have a certain catcher behind the plate. I think it's stupid. I didn't care. As long as you got a catcher's mitt behind the plate and you've gone over the hitters with me in the pregame meeting and we're on the same page, I don't give a shit. Like, I was a little bit slower to the plate. And, you know, if we don't throw the guy at second base, like, maybe that's on me. I'm not going to blame my catcher. Most of the guys in the big leagues now are adequate enough to get the job done. So some of these starting pitchers need to kind of take a step back and maybe take some of the blame when things don't go that well. If they're giving up multiple stolen bases an inning or whatever, like, look inward and not outward. So I think the pitcher catcher relationship obviously is very important, but you shouldn't need to be catered to and have a certain guy behind the plate for you to have success.
Wow. I like that answer. I didn't expect that. And I like, cause I, you know, like, as sports fans on the other side of it, we're always taught, you know, like, there are guys who need specific catchers, and there is that relationship that, like, some guys feel comfortable with others. But I like what you're saying, like, that, you know, they're all pros out there. If you're a catcher in the big leagues, you're good enough to catch anyone.
That's a fact. That's a fact. And you said it well. If you're in the big leagues, your job description is the same as the next guy. Yeah, look, I mean, the guy that backs up Wilson Contreras isn't as good. The guy that backs up JT Realmuto isn't as good. But it's still a major league catcher, and he's busting his ass. He might not have the best pop time. He might not be as good defensively, but he's not going to affect my ability to locate certain pitches.
I like that.
Now, is there any truth to, like, certain catchers are really good at calling games for certain pitchers?
Yeah, that's true. But then that's the catcher that might not be as good needs to just spend a little bit more time with those pitchers that he doesn't catch as often, and, you know, watch video, talk scouting reports, and build that relationship and become a little bit closer. I mean, shit, guys, we're at the field from 1 o'clock to 5 or 6 o'clock before the game starts. There's plenty of time to sit down and have a 30-minute conversation, you know, 3 or 4 days a week.
Yeah.
You know, so I just don't think there's any excuse for it.
Yeah, I like that.
What about another big name trade deadline acquisition that's about to happen? That's the New York Mets getting Jacob DeGrom. So let's talk a little Jake on Jake. DeGrom, he did some rehab.
You guys
starts.
Know I love him. I love him. It's like, that was a great question. It's like getting a guy at the deadline.
Yeah.
You know, Scherzer's back, and he just did what he did to the Yankees, what he went 7 or 8 scoreless. Fuck, man. You can't overstate enough how important he is to the game of baseball and the New York Mets. And if they can find a way just to score a few runs a game, they're going to win that division.
Yeah,
there's no doubt in my mind, because Max is a freak. We know DeGrom's a freak when he's healthy. They just need to hope that he can stay on the mound all the way through October.
So what's that like for him? Because he's made some rehab starts. He pitched very well. He's going to, I think they're going to put him out on the mound on Tuesday this week. And there's going to be a lot of adrenaline in the system. I think he was already hitting 100 miles per hour in the minors in the rehab starts. Mm-hmm. So he's got the velocity, all that stuff. The adrenaline that he's going to feel when he comes out there, does he have to, like, limit himself? Is that a real thing where you can get too excited about that first game back? Because, like, he's dominant enough when he's pitching, you know, 90%. Of his maximum velocity, how would he go about, like, regulating that and being like, okay, I'm excited to get back out here, but I have to do it smart?
Well, I'm sure that he's probably had conversations with the front office and the coaching staff about a pitch count and trying to monitor that, monitor his energy level, his adrenaline. But look, this is DeGrom's, you know, eighth or ninth season. So it's not like he's fresh out of the draft and coming off an injury and going to go out there and try and throw the ball as hard as he physically can. And DeGrom is a biomechanical freak. Like, he's a guy who's basically just built in a lab and just built to pitch. If you look at his body and the way he moves, he's like Zach Wheeler. They're extremely mobile. They're muscular. They're long and lanky, and they, you know, hopefully he can sustain that adrenaline and not be harmed by it. I don't think he will. I think he has a low heart rate. He knows how to control that. And I think he's going to be fine, but I'm sure that conversation has been had amongst him, the coaching staff, and the front office.
I always like calling a player a freak. I like that. Whenever I hear like this guy's a freak, I'm like, wow, that's dangerous. So
yeah.
Who are your top three freaks in Major League Baseball right now?
Ooh, this is good because this segues to a question
really nice.
I had.
New segment,
really
nice. Freak me out.
Yeah, yeah. I have one freak that I'll give you after. So you do three and I'll give you a fourth.
All right, so I got to go with DeGrom. And I've blown the guy for years. I just think he's the best. And I've said this, I think he's the best starting pitcher to ever put the uniform on if he stays healthy. Some people might think that's crazy. Some people love it. Just watching him, you know, live and on TV, he came out of a game. We were playing them. I was with Philly. He struck out 9 out of 10 and he had a little shoulder tweak in the fourth or fifth inning, but is the best shit I've ever seen ever from any pitcher. So he's one. And then, man, it's like flip a coin. I don't want to pick two from the same team, but you got Stanton and Judge. I don't know if, so let's just pick, let's make them
together,
you know, two A and 2B. And then, I think Trey Turner. I'm going to say Trey Turner just because he popped in my head, just with his ability to hit for power, his defense, and his base running.
Five
okay.
tools.
All right, so I got the fourth freak for you, and I want your take on him because we're the number one podcast for this guy. I'll set it up with someone told me that I trust, who has, you know, good baseball knowledge, said that there's a 0.5% chance he could end up being the best baseball player of all time, which is a crazy thing to say, but it's also a 0.5%, right?
Is it Julio?
No, O'Neal Cruz. He's a freak. It's a crazy thing to say, but it also makes you like
think about it.
You're like, oh fuck, I gotta pay attention.
Yeah. That's a nice call. And didn't he? I remember seeing him in the minor leagues, and didn't he struggle for a couple years? Which is totally fine to do. It's normal. But I remember seeing him like in AAA a year or two ago, and he wasn't having great years. And then all of a sudden, like, sometimes shit just clicks. And I didn't realize this kid was 6'7".
Yes, he's a freak.
Is it true? Is it true that he runs like Tyreek Hill? Is that
true?
Dude,
he's so fast. And then the thing that like made me be like, what the fuck? They were playing the Cubs and he threw from shortstop to first base and they tracked it. And it was like, I think it was 97. Yeah. And then he also has power, and it's like, who is this guy?
He's got big power. He's got big power. I saw him hit a ball out to right center field in PNC that almost went out of the stadium. Like that, you know, you see guys hit balls in the water, like dead pull down the line, but you don't see a ball go out of the stadium in right center field. So that's special. I was telling a lot of people this. He's the best player the Pirates have had since Andrew McCutchen, and it's, you know, and not every team can be top of the division, especially, you know, in the NL Central. You got to deal with the Brewers and you got to deal with the Cardinals. So he is a freak, and maybe he's going to end up, I hate to say it, but like a guy like Joey Votto, who ends up just kind of rotting away in Cincinnati, has a Hall of Fame career, but never gets to play in the postseason.
Yeah, that would be a very big bummer.
How would you rate Frank Schwindel in terms of his freakness on the mound, just as a pitcher?
Well, I don't really like seeing position players out there on the mound anymore because they all just kind of lob it in there.
Yeah.
Like they're all kind of scared that they're going to hit somebody or they can't throw strikes. And they talk a lot of shit when, you know, they're not on the mound. Like, oh, you know, I got a slider. I can, you know, change speeds. I got a little cutter, like bullshit. We see the guys get out there and they're lobbing it in at 42 miles an hour.
Yeah.
So I don't like it. I don't like his ability on the mound. I like his unorthodox swing because, man, the guy can really hit a heater, but I don't want to see him pitch.
Mm-hmm. All right, can we get your mid-season? By the way, everyone should listen to Starting Nine with Carl and Jake, two episodes a week. Great. It's a great, great baseball podcast. Do we have your World Series pick? Because I'm sure you gave one before the season, but we're going to give you a second chance. Do it right now, and we'll just say this is your pick. And you can be right, and we'll give you all the credit in the world.
Well, so this is my pick. I like a Subway Series.
Yes.
I like the New York Mets against the New York Yankees. I think with DeGrom and Scherzer back at 100%, I think the Mets find a way to separate themselves even further and win that division. And I don't see anybody slowing down the Yankees. I just really don't. I want to see Judge hit 85 homers this year.
Yes.
And I want to see Rizzo and Matt Carpenter get a ring, along with the rest of those guys. I like that team. I also like the Mets. You know, Colin, our producer, is a diehard Mets fan. I know he's probably going to be pissed at me when he hears me say I want to see the Yankees get a ring. But just seeing a Subway Series, I think it's good for the game of baseball. Obviously, it's good for, you know, the Northeast and New York in particular. So that's my pick.
And it's good for me. I bet it 14-1 2 months ago.
Oh, you're good on that.
That's famous last words.
Do you want to see the Yankees get a ring because just like it would be good for baseball for the Yankees to win another World Series? Or are you just saying saying that because you've got friends on the team? Rizzo, you're like, I want them to win.
Yeah, you know, with what happened to Carpenter, like he decided to play another season. He was with Texas. He opted out. He goes to the Yankees and it ends up hitting, you know, six or seven homers in like 2 weeks. You got to pull for Rizzo. My son Cooper got to meet Judge at the All-Star game, and now it's his new favorite player. I like those guys. I like Garrett Cole. You know, Zach Britton, he's not pitching right now, but he's one of my boys. So I like that clubhouse, but I also like the Mets. So if both those teams get there, let the best team win, and I'll be happy.
It'd be great for Barstool content because we got a lot of Yankees and Mets fans running around here. So
it'd be crazy, man.
It would be crazy.
Are you looking for relief, relaxation, or to party on the motherfucking moon? Then check out 3Cheese's new True Strains lineup of cannabis vapes and gummies tailored for specific effects. And the best part? It's delivered straight to your door. Visit 3Chi.com. That's 3CHI.com. And for a limited time, get 20% off with the code BARSTOOL20.
All right, this is the dumbest question you'll probably ever get. But we like dumb rules on this show. I don't know if you saw, but I threw out the first pitch at the Sag Harbor Whalers game on Friday. No big deal. They won a championship today. So some are saying it's because I gave a speech to the team. I've been a diehard Sag Harbor Whalers fan since Friday, and they won a championship 3 days later. Here's a dumb rule, and you can tell me this is the dumbest rule ever. The first pitch should count. It should count as a ball or strike.
This is the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
How great would that be, though? It's like, so the home team always gets to pick the first pitcher, and like someone will like airmail. It's like, so the first batter gets up there, and it's a 1-0 count. The first pitch should count.
Now, where'd you come up with that?
I just thought of it when I did. I threw it so fast, Jake. It was like 92 miles an hour, but it was.
Was it a strike?
No, way out of the zone. Catcher made me look good. He gave a little hop up. I was like, you know what? Yeah. That should be a ball for the Sag Harbor Whalers. Like, I fucked up. The first pitch should count.
Well, I mean, it would add a little bit more pressure into the situation. Yes. So the guy throwing it, like the guys in the dugout, are like, hey, motherfucker, like yes. This needs to be over the plate.
Right.
But so you have to, I would assume that you're saying that you have to throw it from the rubber. Too.
Have to throw it from the rubber.
None of that front of the mound bullshit.
Have to throw it from the rubber. It's one of those things where it wouldn't actually probably change any outcomes of the game because it's one pitch. It's inconsequential, but it would add a fun wrinkle of like, who is it? Sidney Sweeney threw out the first pitch, Hank, you were saying the other day? Like, that should count.
And, yeah.
Like, 50 Cent throwing it a million feet to the left, that should count. That should be ball one.
Yeah. Was it a quarterback that, like, hit the camera dude in the nuts?
Oh, yeah. Who
was
that?
As a football player, just right in the
Fauci.
Day. Just squaring him up.
It should count. It would be electric. Like, think about how great George Bush's first pitch would have been if it counted as
strike
well.
One.
Yeah. That's strike one on the batter.
Yeah. And exactly. And then you got Nolan Ryan throwing at 92 at 60 miles an hour. And I think Ichiro did the same thing, didn't he?
Dude, Ichiro
out and throw
blazed
first pitch
it.
In
yes.
Full uniform.
Full uniform. Yeah. It. Yeah. I mean, he just wants to keep playing baseball forever. But you tell me, it's dumb when you think about it, but then you start talking about it. Like, how fun would it be? First pitch would have a lot more meaning. First pitch,
well, it'd be fun. It'd be fun to bet on too.
Yeah,
so I'm with you. I'm okay. with you.
They would just have former players do it. They would just be like, our pitcher
we'll
that retired
rules.
Last year.
Yeah, we'll make
back.
Rules that you can't have anyone who played baseball at a professional level.
But pitch. Hey, but think about this though. Even if it's a former player, like that doesn't guarantee a strike.
That's true.
True.
That's true.
I threw a shit ton of first pitch balls in my career.
Yeah. Here's
another dumb rule. Have you ever considered just like not having a catcher for the first two strikes that you have? So it's just the umpire and you get another player out in the field because you get nine players still. So you put another guy like in between shortstop and second base. And then
you're just throwing it directly at the umpire.
Directly
at
the umpire because you don't need a catcher for that pitch if there's nobody on base.
I don't think the umpires would go for that, man. I mean, I think they're going to need their salary to go up a tick.
Probably not. It's a funny thing to imagine, though. Just like imagine Joe West just getting hit in his neck on a first pitch fastball.
It'd be great.
Right. He's got like that turkey gobbler.
He's got a natural chin protector.
Yeah. Nice man. Nice man, but he's got a lot of neck skin.
Yeah. I like that. Nice man. Fat fuck.
Nice man. A lot of...
I have another dumb question about this year because it seems about like 2 weeks from now there will be a story that comes out about the balls. Like the balls have changed over the course of the year.
Yeah.
Where are we at on the balls and how they've performed this year?
It's a giant conspiracy, man. It's a huge conspiracy. But what pitchers don't like is when balls are just taken out of the wrapper and put in the ball bag. And I know there's this. In the rule book, it says balls are supposed to be rubbed up by a team employee like a certain amount of time before the game. And each ball takes 45 seconds and this amount of mud. Like, who knows if they're actually following those rules? You got a clubby that's sitting back there with a dip in and probably hung over and just like, here you go, a little bit of mud. And then he might skip a few. And then like, it's inconsistent. And you saw when Tapera, he's, you know, reliever for the Angels, I believe at the time. And he's just like, he gets a ball from the umpire. He's pitching against Seattle. Nope. Throws it out. Gets another one. Nope. Throws it out. He's like, these fucking balls aren't rubbed up. Mm-hmm. So that's what pitchers don't like. And my only thing is, look, if they're changing the balls with the way that they fly and more drag, less drag, just let the players know. Because we don't really care. Just be transparent about it. That's all we ask.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right. It. Well, Jake, thank you. You got to come up to New York. If there's a Subway Series, you got to be here for every game.
Oh, but, no doubt about it.
We got to get you in the office in the mix. But we appreciate you coming on. Everyone, go listen to Starting Nine with Carl. Appreciate it. And we'll see you soon.
All right, boys. Good seeing you. Thanks having me on.
No joke, I think I might have a Cane's sauce problem. I was at Raising Cane's the other day getting my box combo with extra sauce on the side like usual. I have an order. When I eat my Cane's, it goes crinkle cut fries, chicken fingers, the Texas toast, and finish strong with the slaw. So I start eating, and before I know it, I'm scraping the bottom of my sauce, and I wasn't even done with my fries yet. This habit is escalating, and I'm 100% here for it. Dip into Cane's. Get extra sauce for me, please.
Okay, we're going to wrap up the show. We got a show announcement, kind of a bittersweet one, it's sad, but we do know that people are very invested in us as a podcast, and we're a family, so we wanted to talk about it so that people can hear it from us instead of being like, what happened? So, Hank, do you want to take it away? Or?
Yeah, but this is more, you know, kind of my world behind the scenes stuff. Liam obviously was the first intern we hired. Him and Billy was like the content intern. Liam was the behind the scenes intern to help me, and he's been with us the whole time. Been riding by my side through the fires, through the ups and downs, highs and lows. And I don't even really. That's where it's like it's obviously complicated because there's a lot of stuff that goes on behind the scenes, and it's not really that big a deal. It's not a huge. That's why I was laughing earlier when you're like huge announcements. It's not really like a huge announcement. It's more just kind of. We're just switching things around, basically. Like, Liam's going to be switching in the video department to more like what his skill set is, more what he's suited to. Obviously, when I switched roles, he kind of took over what my role was in terms of show stuff and more of like the, I guess, organization and kind of like administrative stuff with the podcast, and less of like the editing and all that stuff. And we're basically just bringing in someone else to kind of do that. And Liam's going to still be doing the pick-em, still be doing advisors, still be working with us on various shows, but just kind of staying in that more like editing, editing graphics type role. And we're bringing on someone else to do the administrative stuff.
Okay. I'm gonna miss Bubba. Bubba's a great guy.
Wait, no, we're talking about Liam.
Huh?
No, we're talking about Liam.
What do you mean?
Bubba's staying.
Liam's
no, I just
going?
Know that some people are gonna be like, wait, what? Who's Liam and
yeah,
who's Bubba?
Yeah, you just confused the shit out of me.
But they're the same person. Everyone knows.
I'm gonna miss Bubba. I'm gonna miss him. He's a guy that has an infectious laugh. So no matter what happens, if somebody says something remotely funny, Liam laughs, and then everybody else laughs. And you have to have a guy like that in the room. It just helps everybody out. Good guy. Love you, Bubba. We'll still be working with you on some other stuff, I'm sure. No one can fill those shoes. I say we get another guy who's colorblind.
Well, so here's the thing. Part of the thing that Hank didn't mention here is that when Billy was suspended, he did come back and, you know, he did his own interviews during his suspension. He learned Premiere. So Billy's now going to be the producer, and Billy's going to fill the role of what Bubba's been doing, because you did say you were incredible at Premiere, right?
I never said that.
You said you learned Premiere. I learned.
Yeah,
you
learned.
So you're making a switch, so you're the producer now.
You were proficient at Premiere.
Yeah.
Come on, guys.
So you're going to do all the editing.
No.
You should do it for... Okay. We'll give you a two-week trial period. We have to edit every show for 2 weeks.
It's a great opportunity.
And then
yeah.
If you don't like it, you don't have to keep doing it. But if you do like it, then I feel like this is a nice way for you to be like more active and hands-on with the show.
Is this real? I'll do it.
No,
when
Hank, PFT, and I were talking a couple weeks ago, we were like, we should just do a hidden camera and tell Billy that because he's so good at Premiere, he has to produce the whole show now and watch you freak out.
Wait, do you actually cut the recording in Premiere, or do you use another?
Okay, all right.
Billy, we're joking. You're not actually doing it.
All right, so what I got to say, and Bubba's going to get to talk here and talk to the AWLs. I love Liam. He has been a guy with us who's been with us for pretty much the entire time. What I'll say on Liam's behalf, this job is not easy, and the burnout is real. And like when people see us here till 2 a.m. on a Sunday, Liam's here till fucking 6 a.m. on a Sunday. And I think there's an element of like, it's just a lot of really long hours and a lot of demanding moments. And he's always come through. And I think this is going to be good for everyone. Again, he's not going anywhere. He's going to produce Pick'em, you know, which I'm on. He's going to produce Advisors. Like, he's not going anywhere. He's going to be still around. But I do think that, like, there's a part of this where it's almost natural, where it's like the burnout is crazy and I want him to have his life back too. So we will have someone new coming on Wednesday. We'll introduce him. We'll fill everyone in on it. But Bubba, whatever you want to say, I mean, we love you. There are no hard feelings here. We've had long talks about it, and I think we're all on the same page. But you are a big part of the show and have been a big part of the show, so we wanted to make sure you get the proper send-off.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. I do just want to say as well, like, following up on that, like, there's no hard feelings, like, whatsoever about it. Like, Hank had wanted to do things differently, essentially, and basically, besides like my fucking like parents putting a roof over my head, like nobody has done more for me than like everybody in this room in my life, essentially. If I had regrets, like things would be different. But it's like I'm very proud of all the work that I've done, like for Part of My Take and everything over the past 5 years. And like you guys are all like family to me, and I'm still gonna be around. And so just like basically in a better spot to like use my skill set to succeed. And Big Cat, like you had said as well too, like I couldn't have worked until 4 a.m. the rest of my life. So at some point I was not going to be able to do that.
Correct.
And so this is basically a good time to transition into something different.
And you're going to still be around us, and we're going to see you every day. And like I said, like there's not, it's not a goodbye. It's just, you know, a switch. And I'm pumped for you to not have to sit in a cave with us every Sunday for 17 hours because I we get to make jokes and you would have to sit there and listen and then edit it. I always was like, holy fuck, how are you guys doing this?
I think, too, like, part of it, and, like, I guess more just going to, like, the little more, like, explanation, or, like, it's, like, it was obviously, like, forever, it was, like, kind of me being on top of everything, and then, like, Liam was helping me out, and then, but I'm still here, kind of, and there was just, it was a different dynamic, and this is just more of, like, a clear role change, where it's, like, very, like, the roles are defined, it's a new person that's coming in, like, knows exactly, like, what kind of, it's just more like split, and it like makes everything a little bit like, again, like more defined, and Liam is still going to be doing what he's doing, just in a different department.
Right. I think this is going to be very, you're going to be very, very happy in a couple weeks and be like, oh shit, this kicks ass.
Not having to work on like, Sundays.
Those hours are not sustainable for anybody. So thank you for doing it as long as you did. You did a great job and we love you. You were a huge part of this podcast growing to where it is today.
Like this, we're here because, like you said, you know, giving us a compliment, like it goes the other way. We're, as a podcast, to where we are because you took risks in your life to, you know, you dropped out of college.
Yeah, he was like, hey, I'm not going to go back to college. I was like, hey, we can't pay you. And he's like, I'm still going to drop out of college. I was like, okay, but like, we can't pay you as a full-time employee and for like 6 months, I think.
I remember when Liam told me that, and I was like, that's a ballsy thing, but like, yeah, this is what the sacrifice is.
I was like, I would never go back to college, so I'm not going to tell you to. If you want to drop out, I would love to have you around because I need your help, but like, we can't pay you.
It also speaks to like a lot of people, you know, want to be, you know, work at Barstool or be part of this show. And like, Liam is the perfect testament of like what the sacrifices he had to make in his life, in like dropping out of college, like working really late every night, like all these things, he made a ton of sacrifices to get where he is. And now in a weird way, he's getting rewarded in some parts of his life are going to change and for the better. And
you'll be able to see cars more easily on your commute home.
Well, that was my last question. It's a rollback question. It's a rollback question. Rollback.com, RHOBACK.com. I wanted to send him out with a rollback question. Go ahead. You didn't actually get hit by a car, right?
I did. I was also going to say
that
for
would be
the,
great if you're like, yeah, I made that whole thing up, guys.
That was all made up.
I got crossed over real bad at the park.
Just a Friday night prank.
No, definitely you guys like having faith in me and everything led me to be able to like take those type of chances. And so, just for anybody who wants to think about how much Barstool Van Talk sucked. When I dropped out of college to work on that, and then it got canceled a week later.
Yeah, that's right.
So it did suck for me a little bit, too.
But yeah, that was like a galvanizing moment for us. Like, all getting to experience that suck together, we'll always have, like, being in the worst, like, most, like, down of places, and then growing out of that all together as one. Like, we are going to miss you on the show a lot.
Yeah, and then just getting shots of JMO after and being like, this sucks.
Yeah. And I got so high and I got lost in that Call of Duty commercial.
I used to tell, like, one day the whole Barstool Van Talk story would come out, but there was months and months of before it got announced where, like, we would talk and you guys were, like, feeling good about it and then you guys would leave. I'm like, there's no fucking way this is going to happen. Like, it's all going to fall apart, like, blah, 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 blah. And, like, I was just always like, dude, like, it's just, we're going to get fucked. Like, it's just not going to, never going to come out. And then it, like, came out and it was, like, public. It's like, we're doing the show. Yeah. And then it got canceled. And I was like, fuck.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Liam took the risk. And then that got canceled in his face. Last thing. Did you and Jake ever squash your beef? Because I know he said that he hated you. And he was like, good.
That's why Liam wanted to leave.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. That was the real behind the scenes thing. Not Jake, when Hank was talking about it.
I'm glad we're on good terms now.
Okay. Yeah. So you're... But you're like the Lannisters. You just got rid of another one.
Yeah, shoved them out.
Now Billy's on the block.
He's still best in the office.
Look out, Billy.
No, but Pickham will be great because he's gonna, you know, Liam's gonna be dedicated to that and advisors and everything else. So again, he's not going anywhere. We know where he sits. He's gonna be around us all the time. But thank you from the bottom of my heart, from the bottom of all of our hearts, for everything you've done for this show. And shout out your dad. He's the fucking man. He's the epitome.
And your mom.
Your
sister.
No, but every time Bubba tells a story about his dad, it's like a total dude's rock moment. So
he loves the show. I think he'll still listen.
You'll have to whenever he does something that's dude rocks, you gotta come and tell us.
Yeah, I'll fill you in.
Yes. Right.
And until then, continue to tag Bubba and all the dingers that you see, the massive home runs.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay. And also, you know, send him colors to try to decide.
Pantone check.
Yeah. I think you will be like, there will be times when you'll, you know, we're going to have you check in, and I do want to hear stories when your dad does Dudes Rocks things.
Yeah. No, I'm always around.
Too. Yeah. All right. Numbers. This would be cool if you got it. Bubba, no pressure. Yeah.
5.
Watch Hank steal the moment.
80,
corporate Hank
89.
Just strikes again.
26.
What would your backup number be, Bubba, if you had one?
I don't know, 9?
Oh, it's got to be 6. Bill Russell.
No, 6.
Yeah, all right, so I'll guess 9 is the backup.
Come on, right. Billy.
Oh, no, I'll guess 11 for you, backup. Well, Bill, Mountain Billy Championships Russell. He had, right?
That's what I meant. Oh. Do it for Bill.
11. Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
Was it there? 68.
Oh my God.
It's a tough break. Bubba, you want to do the honors?
Love you guys.
Emus once beat the Australian army in a war.
Did you see that emu on the dog?
Yeah.
Did you see, what's his name? Was that an emu? No, Emmanuel.
I think Emmanuel's an emu.
Is he an emu? That guy was fucking
Did you see
awesome.
the emu that's a wide receiver talking about football being back? I'll send you a video. It's awesome.
By the way,
yeah, when he made that quick cut down the sideline on that dog, yeah.
By the way, a quick correction.
Okay.
I don't actually know Premiere.
There's now day. I figured out how to edit and export something on Premiere. It's pretty hard.
Yeah.
But I figured it out. Yeah. I'm not saying I'm anywhere close to anywhere what these guys could do, but.
Okay. Also, I was going to unfollow PMT to then see how long it took memes to figure out. No, where I was like, it would probably be like under 24 hours probably.
So there's day trips to Antarctica that you don't have to get your spleen removed.
I knew it.
Well, not spleen, appendix.
Appendix.
Yeah, okay, so quick correction. Thank
but
you.
If you stay there over the winter, you have to get it done.
Right.
That makes sense.
Nice correction.
Who's taking a fucking day trip to Antarctica?
It turns out there's a day trip from like Patagonia.
Brazil.
Oh, yeah, that's the one I was afraid I was going to have to go on one day.
Yeah, it's not even like real Antarctica.
Okay. Bubba, again.
Love you guys.
Okay.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.